844-8282. Get information on how to own your own groundbreaking, fresh, healthy vending franchise today. 800-424-8282. 800-424-8282. Join us for the 2013 Cumulus Career Fair at Antone's Banquet Center in Boardman, Wednesday, March 6th, from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. The area's top employers will be on hand seeking candidates for future openings. Meet face-to-face with representatives from Rural Metro, Salem Hospital, Cavelli Enterprises, Launch Local, Valley Industrial Truck, Career Advantage, Things Remembered, Macy, Eastern Gateway Community College. The Cumulus Career Fair is free to all job seekers. Come dressed to interview, bring multiple copies of your resume, and make sure to sign in at the registration table. It all happens on Wednesday, March 6th at Antone's Banquet Center in Boardman. The 2013 Cumulus Career Fair. Doors open at 9 a.m. Employers, if you're looking for qualified workers and would like to be part of this event, then call the Career Fair hotline now at 330-783-1000 and ask for Brad Marshall. That's 783-1000. Cumulus Radio, your local career specialist.
Stop now and guide me on this burning handle. The Lincoln Mall Spiral or IPA choice. Nemmons Bakery makes all cases from scratch. The very best Italian bread in town. Nemmons IPA, quality you deserve. Quality, selection, and value. That's Nemmons IPA.
Pick up the blues and yellows. Charlie Stable Brothers. Next time you find yourself out of smart, remember, Charlie Stable Brothers sauce. The fool got it. Charlie Stable Brothers sauce is now available at the grocery store. Ask your grocer for a couple of bucks. If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here, just like they did over there.
So now, I'm never alone. I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill
or VA hospitals,
managing the transition home, or meeting people you can share stories with, you'll find it at IAVA.org.
Even if it's just everyday stuff.
Like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say
sweater?
That?
Really? What?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
This is what your government thinks. Same people that didn't realize a war on terror existed.
Now they're saying it's over.
Somebody tell the terrorists that.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Listen to the wrong kind of music, wrong color, whatever they thought was the reason to do it. For every one of those fucking... I'd like to take a pig out here in this parking lot and mother...
Gotcha!
And it's Friday here on WSOM 600 AM, and I got the wrong version of that song. I just wanted to bring it out here because we're talking about it today here on Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. The numbers here are 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945. Well, let's do it right here. 1-347-945-5229. Give me a call and let me know what's on your mind, and we're going to talk about what's on our mind. here on WSOM 600 AM on terrestrial radio and on iHeartRadio, WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial and at Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. And you can get in on the action and get in our chat room and get back and have some fun let's discuss the events of today. Out in California, we have a great, great situation coming or happening at this particular time where the young man, the ex-policeman, Christopher Dorner, who may have been put away or put out because he's a whistleblower on the rest of the L.A. Police Department, LAPD. I have mixed feelings about this situation. Not that I'm justifying this gentleman at all, because you cannot justify him murdering others because he was dealt with, you know, wrongly and people got away with some bad things. You don't go off and start killing people. But I think he really is innocent of the other charges that they said that he is guilty of. They said he lied on his fellow officers and they threw him off the force. I don't believe that he lied. Because here this man has had a stellar career as far as what all the reports are. And for all you good liberals out there, and I see my man Stanley in the audience, he was a consummate liberal. Now, stunning career, loved all the right, politically correct things, but felt that he was dealt with wrongly when he lost and was fired after he told on the police and said that they allegedly had mistreated some people, allegedly had hurt some people, and, you know, while they were down. And to tell you the truth, he sounds very, very sane to me. Now, that's to me. I understand the frustration of somebody telling you that you lied when you didn't lie and you're losing your job. I understand that quite well. When they trump up certain parts of a charge that don't mean anything, especially in light of what others have done, and you get slapped and you get put out, I understand it. Been there, done it. So what I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, is this man has no right to be out there killing people, but he may be justified in his protest and that he wanted his name cleared. He's just going about it the wrong way. Sometimes something like this can put you over the edge. After you've fought for your country, after you've put your life on the line for your country and put your life on the line for your area as a policeman, when you know that people are gunning for you all the time. And then maybe, this is my thought, just maybe the people of this particular area or these policemen, LA police, have a reputation of being crooked. I will tell you, I was one of the few people here in this area that thought that O.J. Simpson was innocent. Why did I think he was innocent? For quite a few reasons. First of all, the way that the people were killed up, his wife and the gentleman that got caught up by mistake by coming back to the property. Why? How could one man have killed them both like that? When they both put up violent fights, and O.J. didn't have anything on his body but a little tiny cut. He would have had bruises. He would have had something wrong because the one guy was a trained martial artist. The guy killed with her. Well, we saw how the police reacted to this. We saw Mr. Furman, who they believe planted the glove. At least Johnny Carcum sure didn't make it look like he did if he didn't. That's number one. But number two, I'll say it just like this. Mr. Frisky, or Risky, whatever his name was, that drew O.J. Simpson's blood, and then instead of taking it six doors down the hall to the lab, he puts it in his shirt pocket. He puts it in his shirt pocket and goes all the way back to the murder scene where they conveniently find dripping blood, O.J.'s blood dripping down the walkway, but they couldn't identify the blood on the night they picked up Nicole Simpson, and she had different blood under her fingernails and on her body. Couldn't find that, couldn't figure that one out. But they found his blood, and it was in great shape a week later when they drew his blood to figure it out. This department has a reputation of being corrupt. Now, I know that many people in white America believe that he killed her for jealous reasons, but let me say something to you. Let me say this to you. O.J. Simpson, 3 weeks before Nicole and the guy were killed, stayed at the house on the couch under a blanket because she had pneumonia. And he nursed her back to health and took care of the kids. Now, he walked in that house one other time and caught his wife in a compromising sexual position. If he didn't kill her then, he wasn't going to kill her. There was no reason for him to kill her at this time. I will submit to you that I think that she was killed because of Faye Resnick, the roommate that was the cokehead, because they were both doing coke, and Faye is a beater. She probably beat for as much coke as she could get until she owed some people the coke, and then they came looking for her, and instead of killing her, they killed Nicole. Because that's what kind of killing this was. When they cut you like they cut her where her head was almost severed, there was a reason why. That's sending a message. If you don't know anything about the streets, that's sending a message. There was a debt that wasn't paid, and maybe O.J. knew that he wasn't going to give the money up so they could pay that way out of that debt. But I don't believe he killed them to this day. Even if it was his son that did it, if they found blood that was real, it wasn't him. That's what I submit. When you treat people a certain way, sometimes these things happen. Local caller, you're on air.
Yes, I want to talk about what came over the air this morning for a minute, please.
Uh-huh.
I'm listening to your conversation that you're carrying on now. But what came over the air this morning was that Obama is taking out high military that will not shoot on his own and replacing them with high brass that will shoot on their own. So this worries me to no end.
I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you mean by they won't shoot on their own and will shoot on their own.
He's like a general that will not shoot on his American people.
Yeah.
He is replacing them with generals that will shoot on their own.
Well, yeah. Well, this is what I'll tell you. He has some of the state house state documents that he's allowed to do that. And they passed that in the
Homeland Security Act.
Yes, in the Homeland Security Act. That they can go ahead.
And he's also ordered another 7,000 full autos, Matic weapons, for the Homeland Security.
Well,
got over 1.6 billion rounds of ammo right now.
Yes, he
hollow
does.
Point.
Yes, hollow point. Yes. Hold on. Take that. Let's take this a little bit at a time. Homeland Security has ordered what we know to be as cop killer bullets. Correct? Hollow points.
Correct.
They're illegal.
Correct, but they're going to use them.
But they're going to give Homeland Security cop killer bullets. That's number one.
Correct.
Number two, not only does Homeland Security have guns and ammo, the Department of Interior has ordered the same 100,000 rounds, 10,000 rounds, whatever it was, 100,000 rounds, I believe, of the same bullets.
Correct.
Okay. Homeland Security. Now, FBI. They should have things, but not cop killer bullets. They're illegal. Now, if it's wrong for George Bush's CIA to pour water up the nose of some people to make them talk, because they feel like they're drowning. They're not drowning, but they feel like they're drowning. And there's a doctor on call to make sure that nothing happens to the guy. That's torture. But now you can take drones, cop killer bullets, and these things and wipe out members of Al-Qaeda, which all you're doing is you're stirring up a hornet's nest. And there's a guy asking us in the chat room where we heard this at. These are reports that are coming out of the State Department themselves, Covina man. You go look at the State Department reports, and they tell you under the Homeland Security Act that people were screaming that George Bush had done this stuff wrong, and it was terrible. He's doing this. He should be impeached. Well, President Obama has put this on steroids, and not only that, he has made a law that says he can hold a United States citizen for no reason indefinitely.
Correct.
Now, go ahead, caller.
Okay. These crazy shootings are going around in your towns, my towns, everybody's towns anymore. They should immediately stop. They better start saving their ammo, and the crazy shootings is nuts anyway. But I also listened to Francis Rice, a black historian,
mm-hmm.
on the radio this morning, which was great. And more people should get all the facts. And they're talking about changing the name of a park down in Memphis, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And that, Triple K is coming in to protest the changing of the parks. It's a Confederate park. And I was on radio this morning, and I said, don't change the names of these parks. You know, just like the flags, the Confederate flags. You don't do this because not only because of for the white's sake. It's not for the white's sake. It's black and white history. And if you get rid of these things, then we will not remember our history. The black spot on both sides.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming. But turning
okay, go
point
ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, the black spot on both sides of that war. It wasn't just for slavery, but the blacks was on both sides of that war. So if we get rid of all the Confederate stuff, then we get rid of black history and white history. And if you get rid of history, then you tend to repeat history. And that's the sad part. Because we don't want no repeat of history, the bad stuff in history. I would sure like to repeat some of the history of this country right now by getting rid of these traitors and this corruption in D.C.
Well, I would, too. I agree with you 1,000%. But let me add this to what you just said. Black history, white history, I am sort of minded to not necessarily want to remove, you know, the Confederate flag or this, that, and other from everything. But I do believe that in a state house that is paid for by all taxpayers, that it has no place. Because it is just like as if we took the Nazi flag and we flew it in from the courthouse in the most Jewish neighborhood up in New York.
That would be silly.
Well, it's the same thing. Wait. The same thing with stars and bars for me. Okay? Stars and bars, that's the same thing because it means the same thing. My people were lynched up under that flag. My people were beat. My people's land was stolen after they got out of slavery and worked for land, and they came with Jim Crow laws saying if your grandfather didn't own land, you couldn't. They took one of my relatives' 100 acres.
Didn't the North do that?
No. It was the Southern Democrats of South Carolina. Okay?
Okay.
This is history that I got mouth to mouth from my grandfather whose uncle this was done to.
Okay. When I was down in the South, Hilton Head was owned by mostly blacks on Hilton Head.
Well,
that's when I was down there. But anyway, the Confederate flag, I would love to see it fly over the UN right at this time and all those flags taken down. I don't want it flown over top of you. I don't want to go that route. But I really would like to see it fly over that UN.
All of those
people pushed out of this country real fast. And remember both parts of the Civil War, you know. Am I on the right war? The war between the states.
Yeah, Civil War. You're right. Correct.
Okay. But that's where I'd like to see the Confederate flag fly for both blacks, whites, and everybody right over the UN right at this moment. I mean, push those people right out of this country along with this Federal Reserve Board and a whole lot of more people. And we better, with what's coming down on all of us, we better get a united. And that's all there is to it.
Well, see, here's the thing. Most people can't begin to work together because if they don't know how things work, they don't believe that what this man has done is wrong. Excuse me. And they don't know how things work. We're ignorant of the political process. We're ignorant of our laws and how they work and how they freak it. They'll let George Bush get castigated, killed, or all types of things he didn't do.
Bush has a 25,000-page indictment waiting for
him. Well, yeah, but that's BS, okay? It's straight BS, because here's the thing. Saddam Hussein belonged to us.
Right, CIA.
Okay, what about it?
He was trained by us.
Of course they were. No. Well, this is the thing, though. We trained him. Don't forget, we supplied him in his 10-year war against Iran. So for all the non goofy believers that don't believe he had weapons of mass destruction, we know he had them.
Okay, let's go back to 9/11.
Yeah.
2001.
I don't believe the United States did that, and I refuted that when you got off the phone.
I know you did.
Mm-hmm.
18 Saudi Arabians hijacked our four planes, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And then did their deed, okay? And we went to war with Iraq. Now, that's like Japan.
No, that's not how it happened, and that's untrue. We were going to war with Iraq before 9/11 happened.
Okay.
The Clinton White House... left a directive that regime change in Iraq was absolutely necessary. Saddam Hussein had bit the hand that fed him. We had supplied Saddam Hussein. We were funding Saddam Hussein, and he turned on us because we made him get out of Kuwait after we had let him go in there the first place.
If 18 Saudi Arabians flew those planes,
mm-hmm.
and then why did we never go to war with Saudi Arabia.
Because they didn't go with the sanctions of the government that we know of. Just because you're from Saudi Arabia doesn't mean that you're sanctioned by that country to do something. Al Qaeda doesn't know any country per se. They know where they have a safe haven at in the country, but they are not a country. They are an ideology. They are a belief and a thought.
How do you equate building number 7 falling down?
The pressure from the other buildings that are pressing down on the same foundation that they were coming down on. That's how I equate that. But at the same time, like I said, it would have been very easy for those same people that got into those planes and flew them to have set those buildings up to fall by indiscriminately going in and using opportunity to place explosives in different places in those buildings.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Okay, so I'm just saying, you know, if they breached that security, if they got past our security people and were trained to go into, you know, all these different things, they could have done anything to facilitate the destruction of that building. Because don't forget, they tried it under Bill Clinton by putting a truck full of explosives in the garage, and it did not work. But they figured it out. So, no, I do not believe that the Bush administration was replete in this. I believe they might have known something, just like many of the people in Pearl Harbor time heard about the attack. And then even when the gentleman said Mayday, we're under attack, they were slow to move because they didn't believe him.
I've called two senators this morning already, and I've informed them about what Obama is doing with the military. And I've been calling for the impeachment of Benghazi for Fast and Furious and all of this nonsensical stuff that's been going on in our government. But we need to get rid of that Federal Reserve Board, which has put all this debt onto us.
Well,
just like with Iceland, they come into Iceland and told them that what they owed, you know, and they said, we're not going to pay it. We're not going to. You made this debt. You pay it and get out of our country, and you're not taking anything. And that's the same thing we should do at this time, because we can't pay this national debt. This national debt is way above all of our...
It's past paying. There's no way we can pay it. So it's past paying. There's no way you can pay that much. You can't pay back $16-17 trillion.
It's more than that. It's one. They figure it at 120 for unfunded obligations and liabilities. And at $15 trillion, it's $50,000 for every man, woman, and child in this country. At $100,000, you're $300,000 for every man, woman, and child in this country. And if you add in the derivatives that the banksters stole off of us, we're then at $1,000 trillion, and that's over $3 million for every man, woman,
well,
and child.
That's...
I can't afford my share, and I sure can't pay for you either.
I hear you, my friend, but, you know, it is what it is. We're here, and we're going to have to deal with it now. But
erase it like Iceland did.
Well,
take our country back.
I say that we do something to get out from under this, because this is ridiculous. But the biggest part of this is that our economy is stagnating because of government regulation
and free trade.
Well, the free trade, no, I disagree with you on that.
I know you will, but
okay.
I want you to find out what the gross free trade deficit is right at this moment in time. 10 years ago, it was $8 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know it's much higher than that. I've called my congressmen. I've called my senators. I said, I want to know what the total trade deficit is. Do you know the answer I get? They don't know. And so that adds on to that $120 trillion plus the $1,000 trillion. It just keeps adding on. And people don't know what the trade deficit is. And if you can find out the total trade deficit at this time, geez, I'll spend you $10.
Well, here's the thing. And I'm reading this one article right now. It says that bigger trade deficit equals more economic growth. And I'm just saying, okay.
More trade deficit equals more
economic growth.
Oh, yeah. The economic growth is going to take us all on.
Hey, that's
I enjoyed talking to you.
Well, I thank you, sir, and I appreciate your mind. And
please have everybody call their congressman and senator and tell them what Obama is going to do to all of us.
Well,
with the crazy drones. Of course, they've got their great big underground cities already built for them all over the world.
That's
they want us to go into world government, and people's got to really, really wake up.
That
we will not have no say whatsoever in our government much longer.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate your call.
Thank you for listening.
Very well. You have a wonderful day.
And you too, and God bless all of us.
Thank you. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair, and 330, you are on the air.
Is it me?
Yes, it is.
Hey, how you doing, Jeff? It's Homeschool Dad.
Hey, Homeschool. What's up, buddy?
Oh, I haven't been on for a while because of my new job, but I was just eating lunch, and I thought you were doing a fine job explaining yourself today. You were on point, so I just thought I'd call in and say hey.
Hey, man, it's always good to hear from you, and congrats on your new job.
Oh, hey, thank you. So since this is Black History Month, I'm sure that you and Tracy are going to make sure that the all of the black history is being taught this month, including, the Republican versus Democrat history of, the things that get swept under the rug, so to speak, or changed in the public school system.
Oh, my God.
You guys are going to teach it all that stuff this month, right?
Yeah, well, we're gonna definitely hit as much of it as we can, you have to understand, some people don't want to hear the truth. They just don't want to hear the truth.
I was gonna say you guys were talking about the debt and everything. What was it? Wednesday would have been Ronald Reagan's 102nd birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I watched his inaugural speech the other day, the first time. And there was a line he had in there I thought was very prevalent for today. He said, "We as individuals, by borrowing, can live beyond our means for a short time, but that time is limited." He said, "How come we collectively as a nation don't believe that we are subject to that same principle?"
That is something, and that is real deep. But who cares is where we're at. Nobody cares what we're talking about here.
I have to live on a budget, or I have lots of debt, and I have bill collectors coming after me. I can only spend what I make. I mean, that's just, like I said, you can borrow and get on credit, but eventually you got to pay the piper. I mean, that's just, life. So I just don't see how our government can just continue to just rack up the debt and just act like there's no end. It amazes me.
I understand that. I don't think that anybody realizes, what has happened in this country. And somebody's in the chat room saying that Reagan spent in the debt. And it's true. Reagan did spend us into debt. But he got us out of a very bad recession that was left by Mr. Jimmy Carter, the next worst president, or the first worst president. I don't know who's the best. He's worst is what we have now or what we had then. But sure enough, we had a mess going on in that time. And unfortunately, in our situation here, the progressives have done so much to destroy what we know as America. I mean, they have destroyed it.
Yeah, and I know that Reagan, I watched actually a documentary, it was about 4-hour documentary on Reagan, And he did not get to do everything that he wanted to do. Obviously, you know, it's not like he had the luxury of having a Republican Congress and Senate, you know, House and Senate behind him. He didn't get to do everything that he wanted. I know that he did incur debt and raise taxes and different things that most conservatives don't want. But even you know that black incomes and black unemployment were going in a very positive direction underneath his presidency.
Yeah, I understand.
So he did do a lot for the economy.
I'm mixed on Reagan, you know. I'm real mixed on Reagan and the things that he did. I like what he did on one set of things, but on some things I just don't think he was very well. He was that good. Now that's my opinion. This is my opinion. I'm not trying to, you know, to be a certain way about Ronald Reagan. I hold him in high esteem because he fought and won the Cold War, it was what it was, and that's the deal. But the situation is that we're looking at his history, and he was quite successful historically, regardless of some of the mishaps that he's made. And
mishap?
Everybody wants to.
Yes, mishap? Really? Reagan's the same guy who did 11.
I didn't call that caller up, and he just talking, so I shut him back off because we're going to news. Homeschool, if you can't stay, hold on, I'll see you back on the other side again when you call back.
I'm
later.
Mark LaVoy, WSOM
right.
News. A Youngstown man is accused of shooting a pimentuning woman in the back while she was trying to protect her children. 22-year-old Jesse Hudson has a preliminary hearing coming up on Wednesday. Hudson was injured in a gunfire exchange with pimentuning police. The woman is expected to recover. Prosecutors have added more charges against a 46-year-old Amish man from West Farmington who is accused of sexually assaulting young girls for several years. Daniel Miller could be sentenced to life in prison if he is found guilty on any of 5 counts of rape. And the Ohio prison system wants to privatize its food service operations in a move that could save $15 million and result in more than 300 lost jobs. The Department of Rehabilitation and Correction says it remains committed to balancing its budget without reducing bed space or closing any more prisons. Authorities say that savings could come through staffing, meals, and equipment. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Never bet on a horse named Tripod. Never go cliff diving with a guy named Cliff. It's just too many cliffs. Never tell a zombie he looks like death warmed over. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $21.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
If you have a parent entering a nursing home, are the executor of an estate, or just need a will, this message is for you. The Law Office of J.M. Shade is able to help you make the right choices to ensure that you and your family are protected. Call us toll-free, 866-606-6187. Again, 866-606-6187. Or see our site for more information at jmselderlaw.com. JMSElderLaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
This is News Talk 600. 1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
And we're back once again here on Friday afternoon here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial and on iHeartRadio at WSOM 600 AM and at on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. I was talking about earlier the policeman that has gone berserk out in California, but I think that he's gone berserk because he didn't get justice. I don't know whether that's true or whether it's, you know, not true, but it's just when I first heard the statement, I turned and said to my wife, I said, something's wrong. I said, I don't like the situation. I don't like what I'm feeling there. I don't think he is was guilty of what they said he was guilty of, which was lying on his fellow officer, and he was drummed off of the force. Policemen can have a tendency, especially in a place like L.A., to support each other and cover each other, which is they should do. But the thing is I'm not so sure that sometimes they don't cover bad things. Minor things, yeah. If you're arresting a guy and you're trying to get his head in the car, and instead of running his head inside the car, he's fighting you and resisting you. Guess what? And you bump his face up against the side of that cruiser. I don't expect you to be getting sued for that. You're trying to get him. He's resisting. He's fighting you. There's a lot of things that are borderline that happen out there, and you might use a little extra force, or you might somebody fight and spit on you. You might smack them in the face or upside the head because you're dealing with some people that are very desperate at times. Not saying that they should be treated inhumanely because they are, but you're human too, and you just might. Well, he's not justified in killing people, no. But I'm not so sure that he got justice when he told on the other people that were doing certain things because he has a stellar record up to that point. Why would it change at that instance? Now, 438, you may speak at this time, sir.
Hello, Jeff.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I can't believe you're going back to Reagan. Reagan was one of the worst presidents we ever had.
So, no, he is not. No, he is not. No.
Let me make my point.
Go ahead. Make your point.
Okay, I want to go point by point. Let's go point by point. Reagan was a person that I'm putting in the chat room that basically how many times did he raise the tax? He raised tax 11 times during his administration, including 4 times during the two years that he started.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, Reagan's responsible for tripling the federal budget deficit. Basically, Reagan spent $3 trillion. That's most than any president before him.
You're correct.
All of them together. Number three.
You're correct.
Number three. Reagan was responsible. After Reagan did the 1981 tax cut, he basically, the unemployment went to 10.8. He was responsible for that.
Well, here's the thing about that. Under Reagan, I have to look at this. The black unemployment started out high and kind of went down low by the end of his presidency. So I'll say this one thing. Reagan set up the United States to be able to do what it did under Bill Clinton because in between Reagan, there was one term of George Bush won. Okay, and then the last year of George Bush 1's presidency, the GNP started to grow.
Okay?
Because of the things that Reagan put in effect. You have to understand, Jimmy Carter screwed things up very badly, and he had the military screwed up. And so you know what conservatives believe? We believe in a strong military. We don't believe in any weak military. Reagan started building the military back up because Jimmy Carter had decimated it. That's why when he went to try to free the hostages, they failed in the desert because the machinery wasn't in good shape. And they were not prepared for that desert sand. So they failed. I was in the service under Jimmy Carter. Let me tell you.
I'm not looking at Jimmy Carter. I'm going to Reagan.
Well,
so Reagan,
I'm telling you why Reagan did some of the things he did. If you're going to justify Barack Obama's spending at this time because of what Bush did. And like I said, I'm not against all the spending that President Obama has made. I'm against primarily that he destroyed business and won't let them operate because he's putting these heavy regulations because of some foolish ideology that the earth is getting warmer and is going to just disintegrate it before our eyes.
But that's not the only – let's continue on the Reagan thing because I want to go all over this. Okay, Reagan also was responsible for 3 million undocumented immigrants to come in our country. Remember that?
Go ahead.
Remember that, the amnesty that he did in 1982?
I remember, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. What about the Reagan was also responsible for illegal funding of Iran's weapons?
Reagan was not responsible for that, and it was found in court that he wasn't responsible for that. But
well,
I'll check.
Let me ask you a question. I just want to ask you a question. Did he secretly sell arms to Iran, yes or no?
No, he did not. It happened under his presidency, but it was not him. We have a CIA.
Wait, let me go there. Let's go there. Are you saying that under his presidency, if President Obama would have done the same thing that he did, you would have not jumped all in him and say you were responsible for doing that?
No, he's responsible for whatever happened on his watch.
So he is
responsible
for the secret weapon that he sold to Iran.
Stanley, if you're going to apply, if that's the benchmark you're going to apply, then there's a lot that Barack Obama is going to be responsible for that you're going to wind up denying and have denied.
No problem. If you're telling me that he did basically sold weapons to the enemy and everything, and he's responsible for that, and it's under his watch, he's responsible for that.
Well, he's about to openly sell weapons to a government that is hostile to the United States and to Israel, one of our biggest allies, supposedly, and he's going to give them 16 F-16s and other tanks and armament.
Hold on,
Covino, man.
I just want you to tell me, Reagan, was he responsible for when those weapons were sold to Iran, yes or no?
You don't question me like that so much. We're talking though, so I'm going to answer your question. Once again, I say it's his responsibility, but I don't think he was aware of it. And I'll say the reason why, because don't forget who his vice president was George Bush I, who I did not care for. Okay, number one, George Bush I, who used to be CIA director. George Bush I, who made the deal with Clinton to wash the Iran-Contra money through Arkansas. Okay? So, therefore, I am not, I'm okay with what you're saying. It doesn't matter. Still, because his presidency is over. There's nothing you can do about it. Okay.
It matters to a lot of people because if you...
It can matter, okay. It doesn't matter anymore because what the heck can you do about it, Stanley?
Okay.
Nothing.
And the other thing that Reagan did also, he was responsible for Osama bin Laden to be there, and he created the Taliban also.
No, he didn't create the Taliban. Stanley, you're wrong.
Did Reagan fund bin Laden when that happened?
So did Carter.
Let's listen.
Stanley, hold on, South, for a second. This is what I'm gonna tell you. All the presidents deal with devils to get stuff done in the world. There's no doubt about it. Barack Obama is dealing with devils right now. And, in fact, it's so stupid that he is, because we had a good system set up where we had a balance of power, and he discombobulated the whole system for his set of devils, and his devils are turning their back on him. And so therefore, that's why they killed our guys. They attacked our embassy for 7 hours in Benghazi, and because he couldn't save face with anything, he didn't send any help for those people, and they died. So now, I'm sorry to tell you this, Stanley. I don't care about Reagan now. Reagan is dead and gone, and his presidency is over. But Barack Obama's is here and now, and so I'm concerned about that and what he's doing. 626, you're on the air.
Go ahead.
All right. Oh, yeah, thank you. What's up, guys? I tuned in right now. Again, I was gone for a while, but picking up your conversation. I think that George Bush had pardoned Reagan for selling arms to hostages. I mean, the arms for hostages. Because I do remember that press conference. I'm old enough to remember that press conference where he said, you know, despite not believing he sold, traded arms for hostages, he in fact did sell arms for hostages, and he played that up as he couldn't remember, or he was senile or something like that. So people kind of felt sorry for him, they pardoned him.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm old enough to remember that.
Yeah, that's not even true, man.
That's what he said. He had a press conference that said, "Yes, I sold arms for hostages."
No, he didn't admit it like that. No.
You
got to, Kavina, man, I ain't gonna say no. I'm going to say this. Find it for me, please, because I don't remember that at all. I remember that George Bush said, if there was something like this, I pardon him. Because you know why? Because he made those deals with them to get that stuff done. Don't forget who he was. Do you remember what his position was before he made vice president?
He was the CIA. He was a
CIA director. Absolutely. Right. CIA director is just as knowledgeable or more knowledgeable than the president of the United States. And in Reagan's case, because he had started becoming ill before he got out of office, especially after he was shot, you have to understand, they were running wild with what they wanted to do. That's probably why George Bush took the presidency for the one time. But understand something. There is a record and an order of how people get to be president, and you're looking at how they did it. Now, I can't, you may not believe in the Illuminists and things like that, because I have a lot of real smart Christian friends that don't believe in the Illuminists. They don't believe in Illuminati. They don't believe in that the CFR is anything, Council on Foreign Relations. They don't believe anything like that. They don't believe in the Bilderberger groups and the things like that that make the big decisions that we never see. Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. But, hold on, Kavina. Let me get this one on before we go to break. 334, go ahead and holler at us.
Hey, what's going on? I find it interesting that every point that the guy Stanley just dropped was against, that's what people are complaining about now. And
yeah,
he said
absolutely.
He was the worst. It's weird. It's weird. Like, I just don't understand. I was like, whoa, like, really? Like,
well,
I was waiting for some new stuff. Like,
No, they got to go with the old because they don't know when the new. I'm going to say this to you. Please do this for me, because it's going to jump the news here in a minute. If everybody online would hold on just for a little, or you can hang up and call back at the top of the hour. We're getting ready to go to our top of the hour break. Afternoon with Tracy and friends, Jeff in the air chair. You guys are free to talk in the newsroom, in the chat room, and we will be back after these messages. Tracy was sworn in today to the Mahoning County, Youngstown, Ohio Board of Elections. And so she's just finishing up with those festivities now. Talk to you in just a few minutes.
What was the topic you guys were talking about?
Stanley was slamming Reagan.
It's because somebody came in and said, oh, it was so great with Reagan, and he came with a speech and everything. And I was like, really? But let's go to Reagan. And that's why I destroyed the guy and said, it wasn't that great with Reagan. And because conservatives are so Reagan for conservatives is God for them.
Reagan had a press conference, and I remember, I'm old enough to remember, that he admitted on national TV he traded arms for hostages. The president of the United States admitted on TV on a press conference.
Here's the problem you run into with that. If that were the case, then that would be running from then until now. And the fact it would be a soundbite. It would be on TV.
They used to show it all the time, man.
They show it all the time. If you go to American Experience on PBS, I remember one time about 20 or 30 journalists was basically pounding Reagan to ask him questions. What did you do? Did you really sell a weapon? And he was like dumbfounded, couldn't say nothing. He had to do a television show live in front of everybody to justify what he did. You don't remember that, South Carolina? He did that.
I think they remember.
What are you
referring to, man? Are you talking about a high conference?
I'm referring to you that when it comes to Reagan, there's a lot of things conservative you don't look. Because you're saying it was a small stuff. It wasn't. Because if you go do a research and you go to Google, would that happen?
Here's the problem with you, Stanley. You grab a hold of something and you run with it, regardless of whether you got all the facts or not. Now, here's the problem you've got, Stanley. You look at it from one point of view. I have yet to hear you say anything negative about Barack Obama, even though the damn facts are in front of your face.
Drone is something that I am against. The fact that he has able to do the drone.
President Obama said the taxes weren't going to go up on us. I mean, damn it! He's just going to go up. It's just going to go up on those making over $400,000. Guess what? When I got the first check of the year, my check went down, dude. My taxes went up. Okay.
Yeah, hold on. Let me address that right there. When he came in with the stimulus, part of it was they reduced the Social Security withholding.
I understand that. It went from 6.2 to 4.2. But the problem is, he guaranteed that taxes would not go up. That was all taxes.
I believe he was referring to income tax.
That's a payroll deduction.
No, you're right, but I don't think that was covered under the taxes. That's the payroll deduction.
Dude,
that's what you pay for Social Security.
It is a tax. It is a Social Security. It's a Medicare tax.
He wasn't talking about that.
Is it income tax that went up, or is it your Social Security tax that went up?
It's a withholding. It's a withholding. If you want to go back and check that one out, you can check it out on the internet right now while you're on the damn phone. He said no taxes will go up on the middle class.
Okay, no taxes will go up. No income tax, I think, would go up. So you're mad against him because he said
he did not say income taxes. He said taxes.
Okay.
Check it out.
Okay.
Check the video out.
So you're mad because you have to pay a little bit more tax than your social security tax. But you have no
a little bit more.
Trying to put some salt in the game, man.
Give it to somebody else. And that's a bunch of
money. That's how it works, man.
You think it's okay that the rich basically get less of 20% because of the
business? I am saying, my damn money.
Okay, so what about the George Bush tax cut? Do you agree with that the rich are getting less and less? They're getting taxed less as much as they did.
Here's where the lie is. Okay, I see the complacency that giving people a whole bunch of damn money and not requiring anything from them creates, okay? I've seen it for the past 20 years, a system of entitlement where people sit on their asses, refuse to raise their kids, teach them any values, and sit there and pump out babies left and right so they can get a little bit more money. And black people buy into that stupid-ass stuff and don't even realize it. They're supporting and creating the damn monster for themselves.
Okay,
and
hold on.
They don't even realize that the damn system wasn't created for them in the first place, but they're being used as a poster child to perpetuate the damn system.
Okay, stop.
I agree with you. South Carolina, I agree with you.
Right,
that
we agree
point.
With
let's
you on
to,
that.
Let people
there. By the same token, let's go to the other part. I know people who are rich who don't create a job because they're supposed to create a job.
It's not their responsibility to create a damn job. Let me finish.
Because you made a point. I agree with you. Wait, let me finish what I'm saying. We decided as a people to basically give them tax cuts because we wanted them. They're supposed to be the creator of jobs. They're not. They basically keep their $1 billion. They put it in an account, and they're the same people that are ready to...
Wait.
Let me finish. They're the same people that are ready to basically cut down the middle class, do everything that they have to do. They have profit, even though they have profit in the economy, and they'll outsource anybody if they want to get basically a little bit more money or a little bit more... $1 billion in their pocket, and they don't care about the middle class, they don't care about this, they don't care about that, they just care about the profit they have in their money, and they don't care even of investing in their company and getting nice income, the income that basically your employees are working for you that they deserve.
It's their freaking money, Stanley.
That's why we
it's
have
their money.
To purchase.
It's
yeah.
their money.
It's not their money. It's not their money. We decided as a people to do that.
They can go find them a job someplace else if they don't like it. I don't understand it. Because they can go down to Mexico to find cheap labor there.
Little iced tea for you. Body count, but this ain't nobody out in the hood. This is one of their own. This is one. You hear me? This is one of their own. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
I'm probably one of the only brothers that actually own that.
They are out in California, scared to death because they got a guy who claims that another police officer mishandled some people. They found him guilty of lying, and they fired him. And he went on a rampage. Now, I don't know what you think about it, but I think one thing. I think that this guy flipped because he didn't get justice. I think he believed in the system because he's been has a perfect record. He's always the best marksman. He gets the highest marks on the test. He does all of these things. But then he comes in, and see, he has no grounding because he doesn't, by his own admission, he doesn't believe in God. Doesn't know that God will take care of the evildoer. Because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. I don't know what people think. I don't know what people believe anymore. But I'm getting ready to raise up this chat room here. And you may not believe what I believe, and it's okay. Because in my life, I went through the same things that, you know, a lot of things that people go through. But I did have an encounter with God, and I believe God. I don't even believe it on the churchgoer level, because if it were just to go to church, I'd be in trouble, because I wouldn't want to go to some of the churches that I see. I believe it on a personal, very, very, very personal level of relationship with God. And it's not about just going to church. It is that you need to go to church, because he says that when you gather together with the rest of the saints, you find your own strength. And so I do attend the church. I've checked a very good church I started going to lately, right here in the Youngstown, Ohio area. It's called Touch Heaven Church out in Canfield, Ohio. Pastor Frank Amedia, and I appreciate him setting up and coming to town and putting this church of believers and real teaching, not fake religious teaching, but real teaching. But here's the thing. If this man was stabilized in God, he wouldn't be going through what he's going through right now, and which is he's on a rampage killing people, because he didn't get justice. That's the height of selfishness. I'll wait till God exalts me. I've been through something very similar to what he went through. Very similar. But that's okay, because I let God be God, and he knows how and when to make things right. South Carolina, you're on the line. So are you,
yeah.
Kavita Man,
yep.
And
yep.
Stanley,
I'm,
you're
yeah,
still
I'm,
there too.
Jeff, I heard the guy's name is Dr. Ayat.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Africa. He did a seminar on African socialism and why it works. And I put it up on my Facebook page. He's made some interesting comments and made some parallels concerning that. And very one thing that he said that I listened to this tape on, he said that in socialism, the elites will keep what they have but want to share with you guys, okay?
Right.
Now, while we were off the air, you know, Stan and I had a little heated discussion concerning other people's money. Now, I could care less if a man goes out and makes a bigger, better widget than another man, has 1,500 employees and pays them what the market will bring, and those people will be acceptable in that. If he makes $1 billion, that's his $1 billion. It's not mine, and I'm not concerned with it.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to get a hold on is, why are people so jealous of other folks making $1 million or $1 billion and keeping their own money? Why do they want to get in their pockets?
Kavita Man, go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, I don't think in a situation that South Carolina is talking about, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. You know, it's a philosophy. Either you believe in taxation and the common good and the government and stuff and the role of the government, or you don't. And when you live in a democracy, you fight over those beliefs to get other people to believe what you want, so that when it comes to elections, you can have elections, you can decide. Taxes go up, taxes go down, stay the same, so on and so forth. It's not right or wrong. It's perfectly okay to have that belief, but you're going to be in a minority because people in the country believe in fair taxation, whatever that is. And so, I can't say South Carolina is wrong in what he's saying. It's just that he's just in a minority that people just voted a different way, and that's just the way things are.
We're not in the minority, and here's the problem. You know, I don't see where it's in on any level that it's fair to take something from one man and give it to another, especially when you've got it out of. There's no way you can slice it and come up and make that fair. If I came to Stanley's house and took his hyped up computer and gave it to the kid down the street, he would raise all kinds of sand. I don't care how you slice it. I can't do that. That's not right.
Okay, Jeff, can I come back to what he's saying, please?
Go ahead, Stanley.
Okay, the thing is, I have no problem somebody constructing a business, a corporation, having $1 billion, whatever. The problem is when that person does it and basically cuts out the middle class, never gets a higher salary, because, by the way, he didn't do that business on his own. Yes, he started on his own. Yes, he did some decision on his own, but if it wasn't for the employee, he wouldn't have a $1 billion industry. If it wasn't for, wait, let me finish. If it wasn't for that, and if you look at what the generation we are having right now, the income of the middle class has not grown. That's why I have a problem. But the income of the rich has grown up 200%. We live in a society of inequality. And if you do the research, South Carolina, when you have a society of inequality, it brings a lot of bad stuff, like shooting, like people feeling that there's no hope, like feeling that there's no chance.
Hold on. Hold on, Stanley. Now, I'm glad you said all of that at the end of what you just said. Because you know why they feel that way? Because they don't have the opportunity to do and get things. They feel hopeless because they're locked in a system where they cannot get off because somebody uses them to vote for them every 4 years, 1 year, 2 years, whatever it is, and they give them nothing but crumbs, just enough to exist. That is the problem. Wait a minute. Now, let me finish my thought.
I agree with you with that.
Okay, then this is the thing. This is the progressive. This is the progressive. Wait a minute. Let me make my statement. I'll leave it alone. This is the progressive Democrat ideology, is the government has to be your man, your nanny, because you are not smart enough, strong enough, creative enough to make it on your own when the United States was built on the premise that you could come here and have the opportunity, not the absolute outcome, but the opportunity to make it yourself. When you have to, your creativity will rise to the level, because we're just like the one that created us. We're the only thing that can create on this earth. There is no animal on this earth that can create anything.
But Jeff,
we're the only one.
But, Jeff, it's more than that. You could take an example of somebody working for, let's say, 10 years for a company and doing his work and doing his thing. He won't get the same salary, but it won't go with the inflation. It won't go with this as a boss or the owner.
Stanley, been there, done that. Been there, done that. That has nothing to do with the truth.
Yes, it does. You think that the purchase power of somebody doesn't have to have nothing to do with it?
Stanley.
Trust me. Okay, Jeff.
Listen to me, because I said something. You didn't listen to the end of the matter, and therefore you don't understand what I just said, and that's where you're going off. What you just said, a person working for 10 years on a job where it does not keep up with inflation, that's his fault. And let me tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. That's his fault.
Oh, my God.
Because, Stan, you know what I did? When I started into the workforce, before I went to school, before I went to the service, all this stuff, I worked one job. I always did something like cut grass or played in bands and stuff on the side, okay? And then I always looked for the next opportunity to go up more, because I knew that some of these jobs were dead-end jobs. And you're not going to get anywhere unless you're always looking to better yourself. And nobody owes you that. You owe that to yourself.
But by the same token, there's no opportunity. There's not a lot of opportunity
not
right
true.
Now.
Not true. There's a whole
okay.
No, because
there's
you got
not.
Because
there
you got a
not.
Marxist socialist president in
there
power.
There is not. There is not. There is not. Trust me. You could have
Stanley. Stanley.
Go ahead.
Stanley. Watch this. By next year this time, I will tell you that I'm going to take advantage of a particular opportunity in my area. And I'm going to be doing better next year than I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is my point. There is plenty of opportunity, even with the Marxist socialist president we have in place right now. Still yet in this country, we have the opportunity to make something different out of what we have. But if you don't think you can, I had a friend of mine, good friend, and I told him, I said, man, you know what? you know, everybody's out of work around here. We ought to put together this, that, another, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? If you're going to start a business, you need to have some money. I said, you don't really need to have a lot of money. You need to have people willing to work. Well, yeah, but you need to have this and you need to have that. Oh, Stanley, I wanted you to come back. You need to have that. Well, that's not necessarily true because there's money around where people will give you money to even start a business.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know how many businesses I've started and failed at in the past 10 years? Five. I have started five different businesses. And trust me, they failed. What, the best one failed because I lost my distributor. They decided to go prepackaged, and I couldn't make any money for doing a prepackaged type situation. I'll tell you what I was doing. I was selling Italian ices, and I could go out to a ballpark on the weekend and make $3,500 a weekend. I'm talking 2 days, man. I'm working my butt off constantly, and the two individuals that I had working for me, they were busy. But I lost my distributor.
Yeah,
so there's nothing I could do.
Nothing you could do.
That was $3,500 on a weekend. Basically, I would be bringing home right at $2,000 after I paid them
and your taxes and all that.
And my taxes and gave the ballpark their cut. So, you know, hey, that was extra money for me.
Hey guys, everybody, hold on. 773, you're going to be up next. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We're going to pay some bills and let you know about what our people that keep us going are doing and play some of their commercials. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We're talking about it all here today. Come on, get in on it. 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945-5229. We'll see you back after we pay one or two bills. South Carolina, you know something about paying bills. I know you do too, Stanley, if you got employees. See you back on the other side.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service.
Hello, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to. I have to send you that book, The Price of Inequality. You need to read that book. Because I don't get what you're saying, that the inequality. We don't have millionaires anymore. We have billionaires now. And so it's going to be. Wait. Let me finish, and I want to hear you. So we're going to have trillionaires. And the income of the middle class is still going to stay the same. What point are you as an American going to say, wait a minute, we have a problem? You know that there's only 1,000 people that control everything with the money. And the top 1% control about 50 to 70% of the money of everybody. And the rest are basically working for scrap.
I don't care.
And that's the problem.
It's their money, Stanley. They made the money honestly.
It's not their money.
Hold it. It is their money, Stanley.
No,
it is their money.
money. It's not their money.
Really? Good business.
It's not their money. Wait up, wait up. If you're going to go there, it's their money. We're the one who paid for the currency. We're the one who paid them for the court. We're the one who paid the road. We're the one who constructs this. We're the one who does a lot of things. It's not their money.
The money belongs to you. It's not your freaking money. They make it.
Money doesn't belong to me. The money belongs to the government, because if it wasn't for the government, there was no currency, and we wouldn't have
money.
Oh,
hell no. You're crazy, man. It's their freaking money. This might be your money when you...
Wait. Which way is it their money? Tell me which way is their money.
You're doing a job for somebody's family.
Okay,
you do a job for somebody's family, that's your freaking money, and I don't want it. Just because it's less than the guy's $1 billion is, it's still your damn money.
But it's not their money. Which point do you don't understand it's not their money? First of all, let's go. Which point is it their money and everything? It's their money because basically they know how
it's,
to basically.
It's their money because they made the money. They made the money.
How did they make the money? They decided to have a business. And they decided to take a chance with a little money they had, and then the business went higher. That's how it goes. And then the business went higher, and they couldn't do all the work on their own. So what did they do? They tried to basically.
It's their money, Stanley.
Okay, so we don't believe in the profit of the company. You believe the company if it's only the owner that makes all the money. That's what you believe.
If that's the way it's structured.
That's what you believe. Are you telling me that the company, IBM was not alone? There was no employee, there was nobody, it was all done alone. Let's take IBM or Microsoft. It was done alone. It was just Bill Gates, and he could have done it all alone. Really? You really believe that?
Yeah, I believe it.
And that's not true. That's not true. If you read any books on Microsoft, you all said, I own Microsoft because I have great employees. It was my employee and me that made that business. That's business 101.
Sal.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to say,
go ahead,
like
I want to hear the definition of business, Sal. Go ahead.
The definition of business is someone selling a product or providing a service for money.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, and if they own it, that's their money.
No, okay, but they hire employees. So you don't think the employee has influenced your business? You don't think the employee makes your business?
Unless they do not have an ownership in the business.
They don't have influence in your business. So your employee has no influence in your business. Wow.
The only thing that they owe, that owner owes him, is a paycheck at the end of the week. That's it. Nothing more, period.
That's why you have it wrong. So you're saying
that the business owner owes the employees more than a paycheck? Man, you're out of your mind.
Yes, he owes the respect to those employees. He owes to basically treat them well. He owes basically to give them health care if he wants to. He owes a lot more than just giving them
health care. Hey, Sally, here's the problem, man. The only thing, if you come to work for me, and if we agree that you're going to work for me for $10 an hour, then that's all I'm obligated to give you.
You're obligated to more things than just $10 an hour, because you can make me work $10 an hour in a crappy place with no system, with no
help.
No security and everything. The way you sign it is like you should have no security in the building. This is making work in a crappy place that's 1.5, and with crappy things and crappy things. Oh, we should just have, you're not obligated to
understand. It's not, Stanley, here's the problem you're running into, man. You know, if a girl or a guy walks and works down at McDonald's in the worst side of town, okay, it is not the responsibility of McDonald's to make sure they have a safe way to get there and a damn safe way to get home. They have an obligation to provide a safe environment while they're there. But once they go outside that building, it's not McDonald's responsibility. Hell, you're talking about a damn nanny state.
I'm saying that when you're in the business, you have a responsibility of your
employees. You do not have a responsibility to pay them a paycheck, man.
Yes, you do.
Prove it. Show me why.
Yes, you do.
Show me why.
Yes, you do.
Because
tell me why, Stanley.
Because if it wasn't for your employee, you wouldn't have the system that you have right now.
Hey, Stanley,
do you believe in the philosophy treat your employee well and you will do well? Would you believe in the philosophy
treat? Stanley, you know, the only obligation I got to my employees is to pay them a paycheck.
The obligation you have to your employees is to treat them well, and if you would do that, you would get more profit. Hey,
Stanley, have you ever read the story of Stephen Jobs? You know who he is?
Yes.
Okay.
And did you know how Stephen Jobs treated his employees?
Oh yeah, I know how Stephen Jobs treats his employees. But here's the thing, Stanley.
Did he treat them badly? Yes or no? He did.
Stanley, let me finish what I was telling you. I asked you about Stephen Jobs. I'm going to explain something to you. Stephen Jobs expected an ethical environment in the workplace. Ethics is variable. It's relative. If Steve Jobs cussed out an employee, that employee had the right to cuss Steve Jobs out. That's the way it worked at Microsoft. I mean, at Apple. That's how it works. And that's the stuff that's not told. Okay?
No,
he cussed out a lot of...
I read his biography. I read the Steve Jobs, Walter Isaac biography. Yes, but there was a kind of respect. And Steve Jobs said in many of the interviews, if it wasn't for an employee like Microsoft did,
he fired a whole team because he said that they failed.
Because they failed. And I have no problem if you fire people because they failed. But you still treated people with respect and treated them well. I don't know if you fire somebody if he does something bad. I'm not wrong with that.
It's your responsibility. You got to take care of them. You can't just up and fire them. I'm bad. That's mission.
And you're going to tell them they're not guilty. That's absolutely insane. The cops out there have a reputation. I'm going to hold for Monday some of the things that have been coming out in the House hearings on Benghazi and some of the other things. I'm also Tuesday going to deal with a situation where I'm going to read a post that I put, a slight history of black people here in the United States, because people have a tendency to believe that because black people live in ghettos, they're shiftless and they're lazy, they don't want to work, and this, that, and the other. Primarily, that is not true. There is a group of people that are like that. But what you're looking at is the conditioning of a people that every time they've tried to raise their head up, somebody beats us back down with a wooden spoon. And that's something that is, we can't particularly understand unless you experience it. You have to understand all the things that happened in America when people were trying to do better. We did better right after the reconstructions. After the Civil War and Reconstruction, we did really good in this country. We went out and got land. And like I tell a story that I have a great-great uncle that after he got out of slavery, he went to a person that was selling this land that was underwater. He drained that land. He paid premium price for the land. He worked hard in the field and paid premium price for that land. Cleared the land, and as soon as he cleared that land and started to plant, and he had planted and got a couple good crops in, and they saw that that land was rich and fertile because of the water that had been on it all the time and the rotting things and everything, that he didn't have to do much fertilization right away. Guess what they did? They invoked a Jim Crow law that said if your grandfather didn't own land, then you couldn't. And they took his land and they sold it to other people. didn't give him a dime for it. So now, if there's anybody in this country that feels that would feel like they're needing to be owed something, it's me and my family, absolutely.
Hey, Jeff.
But you know what? Even with all of that, that's why I don't appreciate when I'm treated badly, because I didn't hold anybody accountable for that. I didn't ask the government to give me that land back, although maybe I should if I could have found the direct records, but you know they're not going to have no record of that,
Jeff,
of what my family did.
Jeff.
100 acres. He drained it, and they took it from him. That's what this country did to people. There was Black Wall Street after that, where you had all these successful black businesses. What happened? With the help of the United States government, that Woodrow Wilson, I do believe, authorized, they went into the town and bombed and killed up the people and took their wealth and their money. Yep, Sticks, that is right. That's what would have happened. They would have got him for destroying a wetland. Well, see, then farming was real, and it was more important than garter fish or things like that. Then this is what I'm saying. So don't think that because people have been beat down and now they have been psychologically put in slavery, they believe, like Stanley was saying, that I'm bringing you guys back up, so hold on, that like Stanley was saying, a person working for so many years, he doesn't see any hope, he doesn't know what to go look forward to. Well, look, in this United States, you can always better yourself and move on and get better, even with what we have in power right now.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
You know, we were talking on the break, and I finally got an understanding of why Stanley kind of believes the way that he does.
Mm-hmm.
He says that it's not if a man makes $1 billion, it's not his money.
Whose is it?
Tell him, Stanley. You there, Stanley?
He must
yeah,
have
here.
Yeah,
no,
he,
I'm here.
Whose money is it?
First of all, I'm saying that if he did $1 billion, it wasn't only his effort that brought the $1 billion. That's what I'm saying. It was the effort of him and his employee, and he should not basically take advantage of that $1 billion rather than loan and say, I'm going to keep 90% of me, and I'm going to give scrap 5% to my employees.
Hey. Ooh, okay, check this out. If my employee is ready to work for $20 an hour, that's what I'm going to pay him. And if I have an abundance extra, me, my own personal self, I'm going to give them a bonus. Okay, now, but I'm not owed a bonus. I'm owed the $20 for an hour that I went to work for. And
right.
If I don't like that, wait a minute, if I don't like that, then I have the choice to better myself and get a $25 an hour job, or make my own business and pay myself more than 90% that my former boss was paying himself.
Hello? That's why I disagree.
Wait a minute. Why do you disagree? Because guess what, Stanley? It doesn't matter that you disagree. The thing is if I put the time and the money into researching a product and to designing it and do all the stuff that has to be done, buy all the permits, buy all the control. Oh, you buy you, Stanley. You if you manufacture something, you are into it for a whole bunch of things. You hear me? You have to pay every. You got all kind of taxes. You have all type of permits to buy. You can't have machinery unless you buy permits for it. You have to have inspections that you have to pay for.
You know what?
No.
I don't know about that.
You don't have to be. Listen, it's not manufacturing.
Let me explain to you. Hi, everybody. Let me explain to you.
The lone stranger is back, you guys.
No, Stanley, let me really give you some really good information that you need to write down. I am a small business. If people knew what I went through and what I go through, they would never go into business again. A lot of times people make things look awfully easy. But you don't know how often people almost lose their houses, lose their families, lose their car, lose their credit, and I don't manufacture anything. I do talk radio. Bills come, if you think your bills come in your house, you ought to have bills come into a business. And you have to pay people. There's no gray area if it's snowing where they turn the lights out. You got to have gas. You have to present like you're doing well even when you don't. People have no idea what it means to be an entrepreneur. And when you finally succeed, people ought to be rewarded for their endurance. There's no reason for people to give everything away and then when they get it, give it away some more. That's just crazy.
But
there's no
crazy.
But. Jeff is one of my partners.
Mm-hmm.
But the bills come in my name.
Yeah.
You know, when they garnish you, they garnish you. They don't garnish your employees. And your employees don't know that you get. They don't know how close they're getting to not work.
So the risk is all on the one person.
And the one person's family. You have no idea how you got to go and borrow from people to pay people. And you're sitting up eating peanut butter while you're writing out checks to everybody else. And you chase checks down the street. And see, what happens is we have a problem that when people make it, we think that they haven't done anything. But you weren't there in the lean years when I'm starving.
But, Tracy, I have no problem when you start, you do that. The problem I have is when you get, let's say, a profit of $1 billion in your company, you don't know what you think that you did it on your own, and you didn't.
But
you
family.
Did it because of your effort. Let me just finish, Tracy. You did it by your effort, but you did it also by the effort of maybe 1,000 or 2,000, whatever, 5,000 employees that were all working for your same vision.
But, family, but they get a check every month. No one goes to work. No one goes to work and doesn't get a check. Very
except
few people. You know.
Except Jeffrey. What are you talking about?
Seriously, no one goes to work and puts the time in. I mean, you guys, people, employees need to understand something. Every 2 weeks, you expect a check and you expect to deposit a check and you expect for that check to clear. Am I wrong?
Yes.
You're right.
So you have to understand, I've got to pay you before I pay me.
Exactly.
And just because you see me driving a car, you don't know I hide the car around the corner when you think I'm trying to, you know, be flossing and all that, but I'm trying to hide it from the repo man.
But, Tracy, I'm not talking about that case.
Let me say this, Stanley. You need to separate the corporations, and when I say corporations, you need to separate what you're talking about, billionaire businesses. Billionaire businesses are totally different. They are so minute. And they are not. Stanley, listen to what I'm saying. Statistically, you have to realize those businesses that are making over, that are not a small business, that are what they call a large business, those businesses, they only make up less than maybe 1% to 2% of the complete workforce of people. It is the small business people like me who drives the oil and the engine and the heartbeat of America. General Motors is not the one who employs it. It's the small businesses that General Motors feeds off of, like the diner.
It's the mid-sized business and the small businesses Hostess, that was a mid-sized business that went belly up and created a lot of jobs for people. But I kind of wanted to touch on what Jeff was saying. In the ghetto, there are black owners of homes. But what has happened is that, and this is why I blame the moderate whites with the welfare system, and they don't want to change it. when you able to go into black areas and then you buy the homes there and renovate them, and then you put Section 8 people in there next to black homeowners, and you getting that Section 8 money as a white a person that regentrified that home and put Section 8 people and renters in there, you're bringing down the black area.
But can I say this to you? I got something to tell you, and I'm serious. I kid you not. I was in New Jersey, and I found out that they got Section 8 homes in the high rent area. I'm serious. Even in where I live, in my suburban areas, in the suburban areas here where we live, I got folks that are millionaires, thousandaires, and the house that is next to them is actually a Section 8 house. Now, don't think they're not about losing their mind.
Oh, yeah.
But they're really Section 8 houses. And the difference is we tolerate things in our community that they don't tolerate in theirs. They will organize a meeting for the landlord.
I'm gonna give you a story on that as soon as I pull.
They will hold a meeting on with a landlord, and have him and have all the police and everybody out there, and tell them if they don't get to do something about the grass and about the house and about what's going on in that house, that they will move. They will get everybody out. Well, we won't organize in our own community to do so, and we need to understand that. But I thought Section 8 was only in the black neighborhood until I went down the street and found out.
No,
Section 8 is a little bit everywhere.
It's called scatter site housing. Local caller, you're on there.
Yes. Are you on my up?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. My ancestors came here in 1906 at Ellis Island. And at one time, blacks could get a SBA loan quicker than the whites. I don't know how it is now. But I know blacks that own Crystals and McDonald's. And because of what's happening in this country, now I wouldn't recommend borrowing anything. And personally, now at this time, I think all of us, if we don't get a change in this government, we will all lose everything.
You're right.
Well, you're right, but you know what? We're in for the ride for the next 4 years, so we're going to have to try to be as productive as possible because that's all that we can do. I mean, you know, we're not going to make the man get out of office or anything like that unless the Supreme Court thing comes through on the ID.
You don't have to put him out of office. You need to make him accountable in the office that he sits.
Yeah,
well, you ain't got to put him out. He works for us.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. But the thing is the problem with that is none of us ever want to make any of our politicians, responsible. Yeah.
Excuse me for 1 minute, please. Could you tell me the date on when that's supposed to go to the Supreme Court?
No, I cannot. All it says is that Roberts said he was going to hear it.
Which one?
The last challenge that came in December to his birth certificate. They came up with information with the president's birth certificate. They came up with information that proves that, you know, it was incorrect. Now, whether they you know, they're going to rule on it openly or refer it back down to the court, whatever it is, I don't see him coming out of office before 4 years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If they can let Obamacare pass, they definitely going to let the birth certificate go.
I certainly hope that they impeach this man. He is neither black nor white nor an American. And he should be impeached. And I've called my congressmen, my senators, everybody I can in D.C.
What they say?
I don't get no answer.
What they're going to do, because most of them are Democrats.
I think
we've
got the majority of Republicans in the Congress.
Well, there's no doubt.
Yeah,
they can, but they all can't, see, because they're afraid. And thank you for your call. I'm going to let you come back up. Local caller, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm tired of hearing about this birth certificate.
I am too.
Every John Berker who's around here. I mean, this is the same guy that called last week and said how great it was when the slaves, they were able to get old and their masters took care of them. I mean, I mean, they work these people to death for free.
Yeah, you're right.
Isn't this guy crazy?
Well, no,
I mean, he had free labor, and then they try to get him to freedom by trying to run away or something. They took him back and beat him with a whip.
You're right. Well, this is the thing. Here's the thing. All slave masters did not beat their slaves. And so therefore, but a lot of them did, and enough of them did. If there was one, it doesn't matter. It just is what it is. But no, it wasn't a good thing. Slavery wasn't a good thing in America. Everybody didn't suffer a bad servitude, but
it wasn't a great one. It wasn't great because you couldn't do what you want to do. But everybody wasn't getting beat with like Kunta Kinte and Roots.
Did they have slave runners?
Well, the slave.
Yeah, the slave escapes. They had people that went out there and caught the slaves and brought them back.
Well, there's a couple sets of people that did that, see? So you have your Arabic people.
There's a lot of people that did that.
Well, but I'm saying.
It was a whole industry.
Awesome.
That came out of the revolution because the North wanted the South to go along with the United States, so they approved of their slavery to have a country.
I agree with that, but I'm talking about that actually did it in the country of Africa to bring the slavers. The Arabic people were part. There were some tribal people that caught other tribes and sold them into slavery. And there were and there were the Europeans that did the same. So, like I said, there were several groups of people that were responsible for the industry of slavery. But the treatment of slavery here was in modern times one of the most heinous of all. And
That's true because of the French and the Spanish who had their slaves, let their slaves keep their African name. In the United States, they would change their name. They couldn't even keep their heritage because the Southern whites are there wanting to become kind of Americanized, and they didn't want them to have any kind of heritage and know where they came from.
Well, thanks for telling the truth on the radio, because a lot of people won't agree with that, but that's absolutely true. And so, you know, here's the thing: if you're gonna look at this thing responsibly, you got to take your emotion out of it. And my emotion is out of it now because,
Jeff, do you have the same syndrome that I have?
The same who, what, where?
Do you have the same syndrome that I have?
What is that?
Racial identity.
Yes, I do.
What's it called?
I don't know what Michigan Man is.
He called me
identification disorder or something like that.
Psychopath.
Yeah, disorder.
Psychopathic.
Psychodissociative. That's what it is. Psychodissociative. Racial psychodissociative disorder. That's what he called.
That's what it is. Okay, you got that one too.
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
So the thing is it doesn't pay me to be mad at anybody because there's still a lot of people here that were part of that.
I mean, there are a lot of people but there's a lot of people on both sides. That's why we got to judge people one by one.
Well, I don't. My thing is this: I don't hold it.
You don't hold everybody into the same basket.
No, because
why not?
It doesn't pay. It doesn't pay me.
I don't pay you either.
That's true, too. Heck, I'm out of here. Bye.
No, because I got to leave, so you stay here.
You ain't going nowhere.
I gotta make a run. I'm like Jeff. I gotta make a run.
No, you ain't Jeff Green.
I got my phone in my hand. I gotta make a run.
I'm getting played, y'all. I'm getting played. I got work to do, and she's going to play me.
No, I got to run. I got to make a run. I got to play tonight. See, I got to go play. I got to get ready because my hair got to get coiffed. I got to go sing tonight.
Tomorrow's going to hook you up if you came all the way over to PA to the Radisson. See,
I'm a thing?
Yeah, I set up a mic for you.
You got a mic? I want to plug in.
Oh, it'll be plugged in.
And turned up.
It'll be turned up, too.
They're going to be able to hear me. Can I sing a solo?
You can sing them very solo.
I don't want a solo. I want a solo.
Oh, ain't nothing happening. You know I ain't bringing you in there like that, girl.
I'm prepared. I don't know the words. I'm definitely prepared.
I wouldn't make you embarrassing yourself if you couldn't. You can sing, though.
I
heard
you
sing.
I, I just got to give me the words because I'll make up some words.
No doubt about it.
Because, you know, I hang on Snoopy. I thought it was Snoopy. I'm a little special.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I looked at Leeple's thing.
Don't.
I shouldn't have.
No.
Oh, my God.
You know, hang on Snoopy.
That's hang on Snoopy, ain't it?
It's hang on Snoopy, ain't it? But
yeah.
It's Snoopy, but I thought it was Snoopy. Hang on Snoopy, hang on. You know, Ohio State, you know, hang on Snoopy. Baron, you know, Snoopy. I'm trying to make this light because you guys, you know, y'all going deep.
Oh, man, you know, we had a good conversation going because I don't think the cop out in California.
They still find it, trying to find him.
They ain't going
to
find him right away.
Hey, check out, he might be in a store near you.
Kavina, man, you heard us. You heard me.
No, I'm talking about, you know, you can get from California to Youngstown on 80.
Yeah, I know.
That's right. So he might be in the store near
but
you.
But that take you to San Fran, though.
No, don't go to the state. He's going to come out of the state. Because remember, he is a well-trained man.
He don't live out in the wilderness. He probably already got a cave he's living in.
I haven't heard why he's ticked. I heard he's upset.
He was wrongfully
terminated.
Right.
He's highly upset, and now he's gone. He is a disassociated psychopath racial identity person.
Well, this is the thing that happened. He accused a trainer of abusing somebody that they were arresting. And when he did that, he didn't get... you know, justice, he felt, of course, he made the right call now, but evidently it was covered up because when I heard it, it didn't sit right with my spirit that you know, he's crazy for killing folk now. That's the wrong thing to do. That's not how you handle this. But the thing is he tells you, I'm not a religious man, you know, but I had some core values that I would, you know, that I adhere to. And then all of a sudden, he's trying to, you know, deal with, you know, the situation. He gets ticked off, and he starts killing folk.
He's not happy.
Well, I'd like to say
he's
this.
Not happy.
I think you guys better figure it out that if...
Because he's going to have a gun.
He got a gun.
He's going to have a gun.
And you know, he probably got a few of them, and he know how to use it.
They tell me he's good at what he does.
He's a marksman. Yeah.
Oh, that's
he's
good.
A marksman. Now, I haven't shot in years, but I had to make marksman before I could go overseas.
I shot everybody. I shoot like I bowl.
don't.
I bowl like Fred Flintstone.
Okay.
I'm serious. I ain't lying. I'm a bad bowler and I'm a bad shot because I close my eyes and just shoot. Ask Delphine, she'll tell you.
Oh,
well,
man.
I know you guys are talking about that, but I agree with you, Jeff, about OJ. I think OJ is just too dumb to commit that kind of murder, especially he got caught on trying to get his trinkets back.
I don't think he's too dumb to have done it. He just didn't do it.
He didn't do what?
He didn't kill his wife.
His son did it.
Well, I mean, I believe that his son did it because his son had a reason.
They was partying together.
First of all, he did not like Nicole.
They was partying together,
but
they was getting high together, they was kicking it together, and things went south for some reason, because, you know, it don't take too much to go south.
I'm telling you that somebody didn't pay a drug bill because of how they were killed. And here it is. You have this violent killing.
No blood.
OJ don't have no – he got a little cut on his finger, and he told you he cut himself shaving. Little cut. Nothing big. He got all of this going on, and he had no reason to kill her, but all of a sudden, he killed her. He killed her.
Well, we got to realize he was crazy enough to go down the 405 in a white Bronco.
I think he didn't pay the bill for her, and that's how she ended up dead.
He wasn't going to pay the bill.
Faye Resnick ran up the coke bill, and she was living in the house with her, and the captain said, you better pay up. And OJ said, I ain't going to pay nothing to y'all. And so Nicole thought she was going to get around it. And Faye Resnick didn't show up, and they showed up. That's what I think happened.
Mm, that would be bad.
That's what I think happened.
That would be bad. You're going to break.
No, we're going to break. Yeah, we're going to break now.
You're
stop?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's continue this because we have a fundamental different view of when it comes to business and things like that. You believe that you're the owner, you don't own anything to the employee, you just pay them the money that you give them, $20, whatever, and then it's on their own. So but basically, in your society, should you pay health care or you shouldn't?
Nope.
No health care. Okay, so we take out health care. So
okay,
no
if I don't want to.
No, but so in your opportunity and everything, so no health care, no social advantage, no nothing special, just paycheck and that's it. No health care.
Yep, that's it. If I can't afford it, that's it.
Wow. Damn.
Healthcare is expensive, man.
Damn. You don't see the same way that I do. And your perfect order, you have no problem. And how do you explain the disparity between the rich and the middle class, which is getting higher and higher, 200%, then 300%, then totally, you have no problem with that also?
No, because it's not my money. It's their money. They made it. Whatever they want to do with it.
So what would you say to your son and daughter, and she comes to you, and she did everything that she needs, she go get a PhD or a master's degree, she does the hard work, and she comes to you, Dad, I still can't get the six-figure salary. I did everything. I worked hard. I did the sacrifice. What would you tell her?
There's something I can't tell her.
What would you tell her? She did a PhD, which a lot of people did. She did the go to school, get good grade, get the degree, go to a company, work hard, and go higher in the echelon. That's the shop.
We have to move someplace else.
Okay.
But Dad,
I can't find a job. Because there's some people who have PhD and master's degree can't find a job, by the way. You know that shop, Carolina. They're working in a coffee shop and things like that. You know that.
It's not my problem.
I'm talking about now. I'm not talking about when we have 4.5% of unemployment. I'm talking about now. When we have 10% or whatever.
I've got friends that have master's degrees. That are Starbucks baristas, okay? So it's nothing new.
So what do you say to those people? They get the American dream. They work hard because you make it sound like those people didn't work hard. Like your friends.
But what you're saying is that if you go out and do that, that is guaranteed to you. It's not.
Well, what do you think that people go to school and go get a degree for?
Here's the problem, Stanley. You go get a degree, okay? You go get a degree in, say, manufacturing engineering, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you go and you live up, say, for instance, in Boston, okay? And all the manufacturing engineering jobs are taken. You can't find a job nowhere. However, in California, there's an overabundance of jobs in manufacturing engineering. But you said, I'm not going to move to California. I'll stay here. So guess what? You're going to have to do whatever job you can get if you're not willing to do the things that you're required to get to have the success. If you got to move.
Okay. So you believe that. Okay, you do, but don't you understand that your generation that you live, it's not the same thing with the internet, with the global system, with the thing that owners could basically play, employees could get an engineer around the world for half the price, or the employee
has to adjust themselves to the employer, not the employer to the employee.
You can't
go in there and demand whatever you want from an employer. You just can't do that. You can, but you might not have a job the next day.
And you don't see no problem with that?
No. No problem whatsoever. Because it's his business.
Okay.
Stanley, it's his business.
So basically you want to live in a society where we're going to have poor and rich people.
Stanley, it's not about poor and rich people. Stanley, hold on a second.
just because a man has a business doesn't make him rich. But the bottom line is, it's his business.
That depends what kind of business he has, for sure.
I think everybody got to educate themselves a little bit more.
Yeah.
Sorry for sitting in.
Hold on, guys. I'll be right back.
Well, at this point now, it's not even about education, because that's all that is a business. It's about what can you create, what product can you create where the big business wants
innovative
product. That's right. It's
yeah.
innovation. So if you're not an innovative person, if you can't come up with stuff, if you can't come up with ideas,
right.
then they have nothing for you. If you can come
yeah.
up with that kind of stuff, they're going to find you. And they want your product because
right.
they can sell it.
And I agree with you. It's the internet that's basically putting an equal field between a small business owner and the big corporation. Because with the internet, you're allowed to do a lot of things you couldn't do if you didn't have the money before. Like
right.
dropshipping
well,
and wholesaling.
Well,
you couldn't do that with
the internet. Be careful with the internet, though, because they're starting to regulate little by little, and it's going to be a little bit more harder, actually, than what because they have it where they starting to implement different laws, and as you see, I don't know if you guys are aware, a lot of these websites with good information are starting to become subscription based, which means that you have to pay a fee or something like that. So now a lot of websites are going to be limited information, limited access, unless you're paying for them services. So take advantage now. Take advantage now.
You know, a lot of people want to make that's a member. I've done that in some website. That's one of the things I do in my business. So that's one way to make money.
Well, the good thing about online is that if you have a e-commerce business online, if you're good at marketing, you are able to market your product to the world, not just the States, but the world.
Exactly.
So you are basically a global business just on the internet as a
don't be jacking up. Listen, I let you sit over there a couple days a week.
Oh, you
don't be
right.
jacking up the phone lines and messing up and having us. No, don't do that. That's bad.
Audience, are you glad that the Lone Stranger is back, Miss Tracy
no.
Wimbush?
No, they ain't.
No.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what Ben tells me.
What's that?
Put your shirt back on.
No.
Anyway,
no.
It's Friday afternoon on
it's
that
Friday.
With Tracy and Friends at 8 minutes after the hour of 2 o'clock on WSOM 600 AM and on iHeartRadio at WSOM 600 AM as well. And at Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. You need to get in there and give us a call, 330-781-9600. Or on our unlimited internet line, 1-347-945-5229.
Yeah.
And we got a unlisted caller. Go ahead and talk to us about what you want to say.
Oh, you talking about me, Steve? Steve?
Hey, Steve.
Steve, no, that's you.
You're
a
local
line.
Hold on.
Hold on, Steve. Okay. Unlisted caller, you got an unlisted number. You're on the air.
And
okay. Go ahead.
No, I'm just listening in to y'all guys and, you know, commenting when I think I should and just listening in.
Very well. You are open line when you can. Just say, just call me Jeff or Tracy and we'll get you in. All right. All right, Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, Jeff, I wanted to maybe talk about you a second here. I mean, you said next year things are going to improve with you. Are you going to, hopefully, are you going to still be with the station here?
I certainly hope so.
I mean.
You might get a paycheck.
Oh, that sounds nice. So, in other words, Cumulus is going to.
No. This has nothing to do with Cumulus. It's just things that I'm doing.
I work so hard.
Look. I'm a businessman, Doc. I do business
I'm sorry. If I don't want to get in your Kool-Aid.
No, I'm just telling you, I'm a businessman. I do other things other than talk radio.
Everybody ought to have a business.
I know the talk radio guys do make good money.
Well,
because I'm trying to be like Howard Stern.
It depends because many of the talk radio guys that if they're national or even regional, they make
good money.
My name is Tracy Stern.
But the I'm Jeff Limbro.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to be Howard Stern.
Yeah, so
I got a $90 million contract. You know how many people I can help with $90 million?
Right, exactly.
Well, I mean, I know that your local station guys, they either, some of them make between $40,000 to $50,000.
Well, I do not know that at all.
You're right. They make somewhere around there.
I would love to make that doing this,
I mean,
because
I know at the over at the bigger stations they probably make a little bit more.
Well, with the group we're in, I don't know if there is any bigger
station. There's not a bigger station in town.
And then it depends on your sponsors and stuff like that.
You might have a let's put it like this. You might have a different station that's stronger, but I don't know whether.
But I mean, y'all are a small marketing station.
Don't say that, because that's not true. No, not true at all.
Y'all are a small marketing.
No, hold on, Steve. Let me explain to what it is. Let me say it to you. Youngstown is a smaller market, but our goal is to stay where we are and broadcast to larger markets. With technology today, you don't have to move to bigger markets to broadcast. You can broadcast right here from Youngstown, Ohio, and reach the whole globe sitting in the same room that we're in.
Yeah, because I can see y'all on computer. And
see,
you have the worldwide internet, so to speak.
That's correct.
Okay, Steve, hold on. 234, go ahead.
Hey, now, Jeff, just me, Rez, give me a call there and stuff.
Hey, Rez.
Did I, agree with you, you know, on the fact when you were talking before the break pertaining to OJ, you know, we talked about that before, and I agree. And I think that definitely that he never did it in general and stuff. And, you know, it was done on the fact, man, of probably a bill not being paid, because you see it too often. But on that scale right there, that's a scale that's, you know, well beyond probably what these little nickel and dime people that's out here right now does. You know,
don't forget that a nickel and dime guy here out in L.A. would be a 50-cent guy, 50-cent dollar guy, okay? And they would do the same tactics. And, in fact, here they have a group of the people, that the Haitians and what other guys?
But actually, you know what, Jeff? I don't think so. Because if you look at Freeway Rick and what he did along 80, he was 80 from here to there.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at what they've done in the past, you know, Mahoning Valley, you know, Detroit, they were having a thing about Detroit. It's easier to move here and distribute from here than it is to distribute and move from there.
I agree with you. It's
just
easier.
Because, I mean, it's just, distribution is distribution, and location is everything. And look at location. The problem is Americans don't capitalize on legitimate businesses, nor do they give opportunity to people who have that drive, that hustle. Because if these guys went legit, they would put Walmart out of business.
There's no doubt about it.
People don't buy property.
You know, as far as that there. Hey, you know what? I want to say this right quick. Hey, Trace, did you get a chance to call? You know, I couldn't remember the gentleman's name, the one that called that day from Iowa that had that setup that he had out there in Iowa. Do you remember his name? Couldn't even remember his name.
Oh, man, I can't remember his name. My brain only stopped. My brain stops at 3 o'clock and starts back up at 12 noon the next day.
Hey, see, we depend on you. Come on, baby.
I can't. I'm serious.
No.
The only thing I can remember is when Diva said that toilet paper was not a necessity. I remember that like it was a few minutes ago. But outside of that, my brain stopped at 3 o'clock. I'm sorry.
I know that. I ain't mad at you. All right, gang. I'm getting out of the way.
All right, bro.
I'll see you later.
Always good to hear from you.
You said toilet paper's not a necessity. I want
to shout out to my girl, Diva.
Yeah, she ain't on today, but you've been missing her. She was there yesterday.
Yeah, I heard her yesterday. I heard her with a feisty self yesterday. Anyway, Justin, I hate to see you go because...
I'm not going
anywhere.
Hold on. Did you give your resignation?
No, I don't know what he's talking about.
Because if you're not here on Monday, we're going to be in big trouble.
Stanley came with some propaganda saying that there's no opportunities out here. And if somebody starts a business and they make $1 billion, he owes it to his people to give them more money. And I said, well,
you're right, Stanley. Listen, when I make $1 billion, I'm going to call you and give you a contract.
Well, myself, I think if someone makes that kind of money, then they should pay their fair share.
Stanley.
No, that's Steve. What is fair share of staff tax? What does that mean?
Let's say if I'm making 50 and you know, if I have to pay taxes, then I would pay taxes. I did pay taxes.
So the question is, how much tax do I have to pay? That's the question.
Well, personally,
you don't have to pay no taxes.
Someone who's making $50,000 a year should be exempt from paying taxes because of the way the economy, especially if they
have
a wife and a family to support.
So let me ask this.
And by the way, hold on.
So Stanley, do you have a problem if I pay 70% of my income in taxes? If I'm a millionaire.
Stanley, do you really think that I'd pay
70% of my if I make $1 million, it's okay for me to pay 70% of my income in taxes?
Well, that was the way it was when it was Nixon. So I have no problem with you paying taxes, but you won't pay 70% because if you're smart enough as a rich person, you'll have to put your thing in an incorporation, so you don't have to pay 70%.
Stanley, here's what's not right about what you're saying. Personal income is not a corporation. So that if you get paid by your corporation, you will pay income on whatever you get.
And your personal taxes, you'll pay your personal taxes and your corporation taxes.
And your
taxes.
Corporate taxes.
Study
plus
law.
Plus all the other taxes that you have out there.
Hold on, Stanley, our unlisted man is trying to speak. Go ahead, dog.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said a lot of people who need to study law and find out what this whole tax thing is about, you know, and then once you learn that, you have a better clear knowledge of what you should be paying, what you shouldn't be paying. And
absolutely.
Where are you calling from?
New York.
I was going to say, he's from New York.
Welcome to Ohio.
All right. Shout out to everybody in Ohio, Cleveland and all that. You in Youngstown.
Yeah, we're right between.
Okay, yeah, but I was saying, just in regards, I mean, I don't want to get too deep into it, but, I mean, people just need to study what the whole income tax is and what the IRS is, and you have a clear understanding, you know, of what, you know, what's really going on, and, you know, kind of make you think and, you know, maybe do things a little bit different, I would say.
So you got the same problem out there that we have here, that people don't know how to learn how to shelter their money so it grows for them instead of you working for it.
Yeah, and definitely most important thing, what you were saying, a lot of our people don't own land. You know, that's the most important thing. They say, if you don't got no land over here, you don't have anything, and that's the truth. I mean, you got to have some type of property to actually have some control of anything. If you don't have no land, you have nothing. You know, so, you know, people really that need to, the ones that do have the finances to do things, you know, should, you know, when they put in all their money and all these different things, really need to focus on really getting property. And if they really want to help their people, is really buying land. If you don't own no land, you ain't controlling anything.
How do we get people to start working together as a unit so that they can actually start buying land? Right now, we're in an area where we have lots of land that you can actually get for pennies on a dollar for just tax sale, but we have not been able to get people to come together with their resources to do stuff with this so that they can actually start building on this land.
I think a lot of it has to do with people's egos, you know, and always worried about what they're going to get out of it. You know, we need to have people that are really sincere and willing to you know, that are about helping their people and helping people in general as human beings and you know, put your egos aside and, you know, stop putting your own personal interests and you know, basically do it, is like, you know, do it without looking back. you know, and you know, honesty too, you know, because you got to get people that's organized and all these organized great minds, you know, and put them in the right position and kind of be honest. You know, you need honesty, but you need more, like I said, you need egos to be aside, and you need to people to be really about what they say they about. If you're really about helping the people, then go full-fledged with it, you know?
You know what? You are so right about that, but I will say this. We have to understand that you don't have to like people and be in love with them to be in business with them. I don't think we understand that concept. For some reason, we think that we have to be best friends and in love with people to actually do business with them.
And for you, it's probably a little bit more different because in New York, you have a lot of people that are more progressive-minded as far as working together. They will put a couple dollars together and try to work some things out to make money because, you know, the opportunities are so open up there, more so than they are in a lot of other places.
Well, it's funny you say that, not to cut you off, but, you know, with all the people that are out here, I mean, I just take, for example, the music industry. The music industry at one time, you know, of course, every coast had their time and whatnot. But New York was always, I would say, always played a heavy position in the game, and they let it slip out of their hands. Not to say that, you know, the South is our family as well, and, you know, and we'd love to see the South progress as well. But what I'm saying is that it almost like everybody from New York disappeared, and you only have, like, three big entities that's coming out of New York that actually has any, you know, that you see them in the mainstream and things of that nature.
Yeah.
You understand? So what I'm saying is that you got a lot of people with money in New York City, but they're also in that same mind frame of not working together. You have individuals that do work together, but for the most part, if you really look deep inside, you can see that everybody's doing their own thing. Yeah, you got people that are successful, but they can be in a bigger successful. What I'm saying is like this. Okay, yeah, you're making millions, you got houses and everything, but what do you own? Do you own, you know, we always, you know, in the entertainment, but we don't own anything in entertainment. We say that we own record labels, but we really don't own record labels because we always under some major distribution or somebody.
Understood.
You know what I'm saying? So
right,
even with
right.
media, when we go down even to the radio stations and things of that nature, we don't own a real black-owned radio corporation that's syndicated worldwide, okay? I mean, we could talk about
gotcha.
Internet, you know. That. So my point is this. With all the money that these individuals have, they have not come together. Maybe they're starting now. I hear that, you know, Puffy is now in the works of getting his own
channel. Doc, I want to finish this up. I want you to hold on because I got to pay some bills first. So thank you very much for that because you're absolutely on point. And we'll talk about a little bit about
the. Steve signing off.
Okay, Steve, see you later. I got to go to break.
Okay.
Afternoon, Tracy and friends. We'll be right back.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and
Doggy.
Yep.
That's hello from South Carolina.
Nah. And why?
Huh?
NYC.
No, I was, man, listen, I lived there for a year. That's all I could take, though. Maybe it's where I was living at. I was living in the boogie down Bronx, man. Eatonwall Avenue.
Okay.
Man, I'm gonna tell you, man. I guess there were so many, and I guess because I wasn't from there. There were a lot of Jamaicans in the neighborhood. I mean, a lot. And so, you know, when I would go. They had a little club there, and I went down to the club one night, and it was like everybody's looking at me. I didn't talk like them. I could hardly understand what they're talking about. And so I just didn't feel comfortable there. So I decided I was going to go to Detroit. What the hell I do that for? That was even worse.
Detroit is bad right now.
Man, Detroit was bad back in the late 90s. I'm sorry, the late 80s, man. I mean, over on the east side, So I left there and came back to what I know, South Cackalack.
Oh, that's what's up. Yeah, it's definitely no joke.
Yep.
So you're in the heart of Manhattan, or you're out there?
Harlem.
Going to
Harlem.
Harlem.
Via Bronx.
Oh, okay. All right.
Right across the water, feeling that snowstorm.
Tell me something. Tell me something, man, because I got to know this. Have they fixed that big-ass pothole on the Deacon?
Wow. We got so many. If they did, there's others that need to be fixed.
Man, I'm going to tell you, there were so many potholes on that Major Deacon, man. It's like, I have never seen that many in my life.
No joke.
Is that coming out of station break? Okay.
Yep.
But yeah, has it started snowing up there yet?
Yeah, it's crazy right now. It's coming down heavy.
I was trying to get a video feed to see what the weather was like off the Weather Channel.
Yeah, it's looking crazy right now. It's just starting to build up now.
Weather Channel. There we go. Weatherchannel.com. Live from New York. And see, all my people that would be impacted by it, they don't live in the city no more. They moved up to...
Upstate?
Yeah, they moved up to one moved up to Schenectady, and the other one lives over in they moved over to Pennsylvania, called a hideout.
They're probably getting hit harder.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're feeling it. We feeling like the little lightness of it, but it's gonna be heavy. 1 foot, they said. Let's see.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at it now, man. Yeah, it's not pretty.
It looked pretty, but it ain't going to be pretty in a minute.
Yeah. Dang. Well, it looks like Boston is getting sleet and snow right now.
Boston is getting hammered. They're going to get hit hard, they said. They stopped the Amtrak coming from Boston and New York.
They're getting some snow. Well, all I can say is it is 62 degrees outside. And the sun is shining. That's all I'll say. Tracy don't like me to say that when we're on the air. She gets mad, especially when the temperature is below zero there. Yeah. So, man, we get 1 inch of snow down here, and everything goes crazy.
Wow.
I mean, 1 inch of snow, and all of milk is gone, all the bread is gone, sugar. People just buy up everything.
They're
selling snow chains. Hey, for 1 inch of snow, they're selling snow chains, man. that's how crazy it gets down here. Yeah.
South Cackalacka.
South Carolina.
Yeah.
Hold, you guys keep talking. We are off the air, and we'll be back in a second.
All right.
You guys are live.
Okay, cool. Something must happen with the feed there. Okay. But yeah, man. I like what you're saying about the businesses there. And we don't have a lot of participation as far as us. One of the things that I did notice up in Detroit, there were a lot of burnt out businesses from the 1968 riots. And what was happening was a lot of the Arabs who had settled out there in Dearborn came into the city and started buying some of these buildings up, man, and renovating them and putting convenience stores in some of the black neighborhoods. You know, to hear it on the street, a lot of these folks up in Detroit were getting angry with them because they were coming in their neighborhood, buying up these abandoned buildings that have sat there for years and years, and putting the stores there.
And they were saying there were no black owned convenience stores on the west side of Detroit, which is a lot, but there's several there, but the majority of them are owned by Arabs.
Right. Hey,
I can't blame them for doing that. Who's that,
right.
Diva?
Yeah,
hey,
well,
Diva, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Good, because we're on our phones because we can't we're not broadcasting here in the studio. The power went out. So,
oh wow,
that's vicious.
We're going and we're actually you guys are going live out. So just so that you know, we're going to go with the show. And those of you who are listening on WSOM AM 600, we are just it's like sitting newspaper.
I can imagine how New York might get some power outages. You're talking like that. Damn.
Is it snowing there?
No, it's something. We had a power surge or something happened, but the power on the boards went out. So we just want to say we're live on the air, and it's actually going out, but my board inside is not going out. So this conversation is going live out over the air. So welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM and Blog Talk Radio and Tracy and Friends, and you see how things are done.
Yeah.
How you like that apple?
That's why you get paid the big bucks, Tracy. That's why you get paid the big bucks.
That's why I get a big checky check, and y'all want to know why? That we don't want to pay taxes and give it away when we get done making it? This is why.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll be singing jingles in a minute.
No, you said they won't let you sing.
They won't let me sing. I don't know why they won't let me sing.
Well, I thought you said Jeff
was going
to let you sing with them one time.
Yeah, but see, Jeff tells stories. Don't tell Jeff, but Jeff tells stories.
Yeah, but Tracy, I'm looking at this storm that's hitting New York and heading up toward Boston, man. This is nasty.
That's what I hear. And New York, how is the weather up there? Because I don't want to hear about South Carolina because he ain't doing nothing but, swimming in the rain.
It's cold. It's definitely, the snow is starting to stick. It was kind of thick, but like slushy. Now it's really starting to stick, and you can see the streets is starting to get dirty.
When I look at what's going on in New York and across the country, is the same thing going on there as it is here, or are we just misinformed? Because a lot of times we look and we think that people that live in other areas, that they have it better, but I think we're all the same everywhere we go. We just think it's better somewhere else.
I mean, it depends what you're speaking about. I mean, if you
business-wise, education-wise, opportunity-wise, are we really?
I mean, definitely. You have you're losing the middle class. Maybe there's no such thing. And you got the power struggle. You have people that have different position. There's opportunity, maybe a little bit more than other places because it's a bigger city. But with a bigger city has more people. So, it depends. It depends your qualifications, but then, you don't have, for the people that don't have the qualifications, then the education part comes in, and then, you have certain programs that you might get some type of training and things of that nature for people that can't afford to go to school, for whatever reason. So you got a lot of obstacles, like any other city. It's a little bit bigger. You have a lot more people, but you have a lot of underqualified people. You have positions that are filled, to capacity, and it's all about who you know. Who you know and how they know you. If you know people, and they're in a good situation, then you 9 out of 10 might be in a good situation. But that's for the most part. But I won't say that it's, completely a thing that there's no opportunity. There is opportunity. You just have to work harder, and go through all the BS and stuff of that nature. There might be an opportunity, but it's definitely less. It's lessened over the years. It hasn't gotten better.
Well, I am, because I'm really – I think during this time we need to learn how to, I believe in cooperative economics. We're going to have to unify to make our society better. And we're going to have to unify to make our community better. And if we're going to become a player, we're going to have to learn how to become our own Wall Street again.
Definitely, it starts at home.
And if you look at Wall Street, I don't know everybody that owns shares in Coca-Cola just because I do, and I'm not quite sure we understand that concept so that we can get things done. And there are checks and balances. Yes, there is, you know, regulations, and yes, there are people that steal. But until we really learn that it's not about personality, but it's truly about pure economics and pure getting it done and doing a job and having a spirit of excellence, I think we're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, financial literacy is an important thing that, you know, that most of the time they don't teach in school. They teach you the basics. I remember when I was in school, you know, I'm already in my 30s, but I remember at least they had some type of education, I guess, and during the 80s, somewhat mixed, even though the times was a little rough. I've noticed that over the years it's gotten dumbed down. And then even what we have learned in the history books was not really the real history, you know, because times have changed and you learn more, you know, and then you learn also that half of the stuff they taught you in school is really not what's really happened. You know, if you talk about, you know, things just, for example, Christopher Columbus, you know, how America, you know, was established. You know, you're not gonna get the real deal. You know, real black history. You know, let's talk before Martin Luther King. You know, we respect him, of course, and honor him. But what happened with everything that led up to him? We don't know, you know, our history. And, you know, we know about the Puff Daddies again, you know, in respect to him because he has his place in history. But, you know, it took people to get to where we at right now, you know. And these guys and these women, you know, were the ones that opened up the doors for us to have what we have, whether, you know, you want to, you know, dispute that or not, you know. It is the reality, and it's our reality. And so, you know, again, the education piece to the thing is that, you know, the school system that has been all messed up, you know, we don't have any financial literacy, you know, education.
So I look at history, but when I look at, you know, history is great, and I know that we need to know better. But I look at what happened back in the Renaissance era. They didn't have the history, but they still did it. We have more opportunity now with the internet, with, you know, technology. We can do so much, and we're still not doing it.
Well, you're right, Tracy. The reason why, and this is why I say I don't think blacks are going to get back to that here in America. During those days, you had more oppression on blacks visibly. They saw how blacks were getting treated down in the South, so blacks wanted to make sure and be proud and create things in their own neighborhoods. And even the millionaires lived in the black neighborhoods. Not saying few don't do now, but they also started businesses in black areas. As soon as a black person gets a contract for millions of dollars, they leave and don't return and put any businesses there. So you have a dysfunction in the black community that when it comes to economics, they do not achieve.
But now my question to you is, Chicago, this is my question to you. Do we honestly realize that when people come to work for black people, we treat black people differently than we treat white people when it goes to working?
Well, the thing is that it's black people out here that want to work and that will work hard and efficient. The thing is that it's hard for them to get that opportunity because there's just no opportunities in their areas. So they have
But I'm saying, do you know how many people, because what happens is trying to find, and I'm just being honest, trying to find people who want to come to work, black or white right now, is very difficult. And when you actually give up,
I don't know,
and
about
sacrifice.
That,
I mean, no, seriously, because right now you're not getting people to come to work on time, doing the job, and putting pride into it. People don't do that right now. For some reason, it feels as though the world.
They must not be struggling. They must not be struggling, because I know that people that are really have to pay their bills, and you know they're doing. They're not living a good life. They're, you know, basically working to pay bills. They get up off of their behind and go to work. You have a percentage of people that are lazy and don't want to get off their behind. We've got, you know, if they're getting, you know, you got people that's disabled, those you can't, you know, you got to look out for those. But I'm talking about the ones that are just, you know, maybe benefiting off of the state, the city, you know, funds, and not doing any work and don't, you know, you have a small percentage and that's with everybody. But I think for the most part, the opportunities, like he said, is not really there. And really the training, the education, and then the motivation, because with that, you know, you got to motivate people and get them in the mood. So all those things kind of like come together. And if you don't have those things, it's not going to work, you know. And like he said, you got maybe one or two athletes that come back to the so-called hood and the ghetto and come back. But again, it's, you know, I noticed too that everybody has their own charity and company and whatnot. You know,
and
why
charity,
is it they don't merge
them? But they don't put any money into it.
Right. No,
wait,
why they don't
wait,
merge them together,
and
all these charities, how is that benefiting?
And charity is giving. It's not a hand up. See, that's the problem.
Right.
Tax
write-off. Right, right,
it has
right.
to be business. You have to let people work for their money. You can't just give them
right,
money to charity
right. that's thing
and do
too.
This. See, that's
another
the problem.
Thing.
You got to have businesses. So you train these people
generate,
to work,
yeah.
and they go and get their own turkeys
that's
for
right.
Thanksgiving.
And see,
that's
see,
right.
Now, Michigan, Chicago, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I really want to start doing some things like that, because I think people ought to work for what they get, but we ought to help them as they move along, not just give it to them because they're cute.
You're right.
That goes for kids. I just don't understand me just passing the money out. Just because, you know, the kid's coming. When he comes to my yard, I'll pay you, but you need to do it right.
Right. That's correct.
And I don't know how we start doing that, because the resources are limited.
Well,
and everybody's
mean,
working on a budget right now. It's unbelievable
right.
how broke folks are.
Well,
no,
I'm going to just
well,
tell you.
Well.
I'm going to just tell you, all our resources were limited because we were off the air.
Are
we
still
off the air? No, everything is good. We're back in. We're out terrestrial as well as internet, so we're doing wonderful through the crack staff here at WSOM 600 AM on the radio dial. So come on down. You know, I was hearing you guys because I couldn't say anything, but it's very interesting, what's going on in the dynamic. I'm just wondering about the people, why. We've gotten to this place where people aren't really paying attention to having to get some things done, one, having to get out there and work, do something to go to work.
Diversions. I would say diversions. You can get into food. You know, I think mind manipulation, and you can say, oh, well, you know, you have your own mind to do what you got to do. But I tell you one thing, the television doesn't help. The television has been corrupting the mind for so long that, you know, with all, I mean, I'm not going to blame anybody, but really the corporations, why we don't own our own stuff, we have other corporations that's programming our minds. I mean, we could break down to words and all this other stuff, but if you really think about it, you know, what are you watching when you put on TV? You know, a lot of the people ain't watching the educational channels and getting all that information, because 90% of the channels is entertainment, you know, and what are they giving on these shows, you know, is not helping the household. You know, you got the young kids watching these things, these programs, and even how they program the so-called, what they call hip-hop, because it's not hip-hop, the rap music, you know, that they've been putting out on the TV in the daytime. You know, I remember in the 90s, you know, you had that type of music, gangsta and all that, but there was a time and an hour for that. You know, they had the evening time, you know, later time, you hear all the crazy stuff. And that was for the adults that heard it. You know, you had the youth that heard it, and I've heard it myself. But there was also a different mind frame and a mindset on how, you know, you took in this music. You knew that, you know, at the end of the day, it was somebody's story, or whether it was a real story or not, you're not going to go and you know, listen to the music and go out there and go wild. So they've been programming them. Huh?
Back to
music in the 90s, if you talk about rap or gangster rap, Tupac was social conscious. He might have been a gangster rapper, talk about
Ditto.
That in his raps, but he was a social conscious
The
rapper.
Balance.
BDB, BDB, Boogie Down Productions, all them guys up there that was doing it right. Hey, you know, check it out. We got to take a break now.
You got to keep on going. Y'all keep on going on the internet, but we got to go take a break here.
We
got to
take a break here. We'll be right back
okay.
after a few of these messages. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I think that's what had to do with it. It's not a balance anymore. They done messed up the kids' minds with what they playing. Even the adults are falling for it. You know, the adults are acting like kids.
Who you choose to fix it. Only Safelite, America's largest, gives you the reliability of always being there. With our 24/7 live call center, online scheduling, even a mobile app. And Safelite emails a photo.
Listen to News Talk 600 Saturdays at noon for On Earth as It Is in Heaven. And Father Andrew, pastor of St. Michael's Orthodox Church. Saturdays at noon on News Talk 600.
Excuse me, do you know how to get to Maine and Maple?
Do you have these in the 7.5?
How's that cooked?
Can I get that shipped overnight?
Is there a direct flight?
How long does the warranty last?
What's your soup of the day?
How do you change the ringtone?
Does it come in blue?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life.
Is it raining out?
What time's the meeting?
How much does this cost?
Does it have four-wheel drive?
Have we met before?
What's my account balance?
Yet somehow, when we get to the doctor's office... Any questions?
No.
We clam up. Ask questions.
What is this test for?
Are there any side effects?
When do I get my results?
Questions lead to better health care. Go to ahrq.gov for a list of 10 questions everyone should know. Questions are the answer. Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
You've heard it all before. Gold and silver prices are at record levels, and you've heard all the promises from the out-of-town companies saying they'll pay the highest prices. But can you really be sure?
Everybody says the same thing. It's spinning in everyone's head, but where do you go? You go to First Choice Coin in Boardman, paying highest prices guaranteed.
Meet Tom, owner of First Choice Coin and Jewelry in Boardman. And he'll make sure you get the highest price for your unwanted gold or silver.
We pay the highest prices guaranteed. Check around, get your prices, and we guarantee we'll be the highest prices paid for your gold and silver.
And what makes First Choice different?
We're locally owned. We have many return customers. We have a lot of people that check prices, and they end up at our store. And we also offer jewelry repair, jewelry appraisals. We have a GIA graduate gemologist on staff.
First Choice Coin and Jewelry, 7807 Market Street in Boardman, next to Boardman Nissan. Call 330-629-9990. See store for gold guarantee details.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services.
We're back. I gotta say, hey guys, I want to tell you guys something. The power just went out and the board just went wacky in here.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, Jeff really stepped up and figured out. Tracy just called on the phone and made it work. I gotta take my hat off to him today. He did a good job today. So I want to say, and I want to thank him for coming out, and I want to thank all the people that came out for my swearing in this morning. I was so humbled by everyone who stepped up. People heard it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I sent out emails, and people stepped up, and they came to my swearing-in today. Democrat, Republican, black, white, young, old. Every family, non-family, everyone just came out, and I want to thank everybody for doing that. And I ask you to please keep me accountable, and please keep me in your prayers.
I'm looking on your Facebook page, Ooh. And I'm seeing more Democrats saying, hey, congratulations, than I am Republicans. Maybe that's because there's so many more.
That's what it is. And also, I want to, I lost a friend of mine, a young man of mine. He was my neighbor, and he used to take care of my trash and my snow. And he got hit by a car, I guess, here. He was only 23 years old, and I just found out this morning in the paper, because I just somehow just picked up a pad of paper around and looked at it and said, you know, kid who shouldn't have been in the middle of the street over by a bar, and found out it was a young kid of mine. And I am so overwhelmed, because we need to cherish life more than we do. 23 is not the time to go.
No. Too much potential. And, you know, if people thought as people, as seeds,
yeah,
we would never have the abortion situation that we have.
Understand.
Because and the one thing, we wouldn't be so afraid to do certain things in life. My friend Dr. Miles Monroe,
yeah,
said the richest place in the world
is the graveyard.
Karusha.
And so we really need to understand that, and we need to, and not only that, we need to respect people as people. Not by the color of the skin, but as who they are individually, not collectively.
Right.
I do not like for anybody to say that I'm an angry black woman because of the color of my skin and because of my gender. I don't want anyone to think that I am like everyone else. I am Tracy, and I have my own identity. And I pray that we will start looking at people in their own identity and embracing them and loving on them.
Right.
And encouraging them, because you know, you don't know the hell people go through in a day. You have no
Correct.
Idea what people are going through. And sometimes they're just having a bad day, and sometimes you're not going to like them. But we're not here to like people. We're here to respect them. So that was my sermonette of the day.
Wow.
Pass the plate.
Air blasting the plate for me.
No, Jeff, no.
I instilled that in you, Tracy, today.
No. And Bill, listen, that was my second speech today. The first one was really kind of corny because I was having a hard time getting that one out.
It was good.
I was trying to hold back the tears because you're not supposed to cry in public.
It's been an emotional week and all the stuff that's been going on, period.
Ups and downs.
Lots of stuff has happened. And, you know, you see the gentleman going berserk out in California. You see the East Coast, after dealing with Sandy, getting ready to go through 2-3 foot of snow. And you see all the things that are befalling the people, and I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not saying anything of who's doing what and who did what. I'm saying this, that God is real, and please, please, people, pray, those that believe. I want you to pray.
And you know what? And again, those who don't believe,
mm-hmm.
pray anyway.
Yeah, pray anyway.
You know, pray until you get a breakthrough. What do they call a push?
Push.
Pray until
push
something.
Until, yeah,
pray until something happens.
Until something happens.
Yeah, pray. Because our country is based on prayer. It's based on allegiance, and we need to teach that. So open. Who's on there? South Carolina's there.
South Carolina.
No, he out there bathing in the sun.
New York and 770
New York,
Chicago.
Yeah, we here. New York.
And New York, thank you for calling
yeah.
us and hanging out with us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Come back anytime. We're here every day. Like a clockwork. You know, we like a bad habit.
Yeah, and I'm an old musician too, and
You gonna let me sing on Saturday?
Oh yeah, you come out to the gig and I'm gonna set a mic up for you, Tracy.
But you gonna let me sing? You keep on telling me you're gonna set a mic up.
Mic
are you
set up for you?
Are you gonna turn her up on the board?
I don't run the board. It don't have nothing to do with me. I'm on the stage all the time.
I'll be singing with the Sensations or the Unit.
The Sensations. I'm no longer the Unit. I am now Players Express. And so doing that, and then my black hip hop roots.
Last
in
night
fact,
I caught
I'm
you
play
out.
Some of that next week.
Hey, last night I caught
hey,
you
Tracy.
Out. Yes,
Make sure you watch the Grammys. It'll be safe to watch this year.
What? Beyonce gonna keep her clothes on?
Oh yeah, everybody has been told keep your clothes on.
They sure were.
I'm not watching that mess. I'm serious. I'm done with some stuff.
You know what? I've been done. I haven't seen one of these shows, even the Soul Train Music Award, the Black Essence Awards, and all this other stuff. I don't watch it no more because it's so doggone falsely political. And then, you know, you're sitting up there listening to people lying, and you say, I can't listen to this.
You know what? I look at it as, one, they're not, they can't, everybody getting an award, not all of them have any talent.
No,
and I'm really
and
tired
the thing,
of the talentless.
And Tracy,
huh?
Tracy
yeah.
they don't have people. They don't have people up there that can sing like Angela Wimbush. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, but a lot of people don't know the story behind that. Is that Billboard and Grammys? You even to be considered into that, you have to pay to get into that.
That's
so
true.
All
political.
That is all about money and who you connected with and what major label you connected with that's pushing that money towards these people, or even getting you in there. All that is about money, commerce. Remember that.
yeah, that's true. But I mean, but my issue is there are people that have talent that want to be successful in the music industry, and we won't give them opportunity. You got people out there. When I look at what's her name, it's not Rihanna, but what's the other necklace? Nicki Minaj.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Nicki Minaj getting ready to do American Idol, and she has absolute. How is she going to tell?
She just came in the game. She just came in the game the other day.
How can she tell anybody how to make it in the game when she can't sing on her own?
You're right. No, the thing is that how can you put her in comparison to a Mariah Carey that has put in her work all these years? You know what I'm saying? There's no.
Not only that,
you know?
Listen, even if she just came into the game and she could sing.
Right.
But this chick ain't got no talent. She got a gimmick.
No, and the thing is that you have to still, like, I mean, just, you know, the thing was that they flooded a lot of money into her to make that big impact for her album. Now, before she was down with Young Money or any other company, she was out there still pushing her stuff but never got that success. So really it was the money that got her to the success that she's at. And back then it was about talent. So now it's a whole different game. So a lot of people get caught up, oh, because, you know, Nicki Minaj made such an impact now and that she made all these videos.
Oh, we got you.
Check Mariah Carey's
her new CD
run. No, check out her footwork. Check out her resume. See if you can even put comparison. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I got you. Hey, check it out, New York. You sound like you work in the industry.
No, I don't work the industry, but I have friends that work in the industry, and they I've seen
call,
it.
Hey, call back next week, man. We're going to be back here 13, Monday through Friday, 12 to 3.
The person that they should have had up there doing that was Patti LaBelle.
Okay.
Hey, I got to go.
Hey, we got to go. 30 seconds to go. God bless. See y'all later. Afternoon with Tracy and friends.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit